Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that was made for men by men. And we talk about life, love, relationships, money, career, social challenges, and we always do it from a man's perspective. And before we get into that tonight, let's bring a rugged beat. Some of you call it my caveman beat. And XRP Isaac, it's rape. I just didn't want to put I didn't want to be flagged as putting something violent language. So I put it as rap. But let's get a beat going before we get started. Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year. It is January 2nd, 2022, and we are right at the beginning of a very new year. In some ways, you've heard this beat. You could say the same beat. We're in a new year, and we're jumping into a new year with a very, very taboo topic. You guys know why Straight Talk exists. We're the talk show that is made for men by men, except not even women want to miss the show because we talk about some of the most provocative, politically incorrect topics that people often avoid, even though it's the dead elephant in the room or swept under the rug. We address it, and even we address topics that may be very common. Everyone may have discussed it. We just take a very different perspective. We look at things from perspectives that are not normally discussed by society, or once again, you know, a common topic, dead elephant in the room, and no one will actually ask the question. So here tonight, we're starting the year off talking about something that taboo is probably a good word to use for it. We're going to talk about rape. So let me just say, I am not encouraging. For sure, this is a politically incorrect topic. But while it's politically incorrect, it's much more popular than people believe, just not discussed as much. It's not discussed to the extent it's popular. Right, so popularity is here, and the discussion of it is very low. And at the same time, while we are going to discuss it, I am not encouraging. I do not condone or encourage rape of any kind. So I need to say that up front. At the same time, there are women who may condone and encourage it in many different ways. And some of the things, you guys know I like to do screen shares. So we're going to do a screen share. We're going to look at an article. We'll look at an article from psychology and see what the psychologists have to say about this whole notion of women having a rape fantasy. You guys know I like to always have more than one way to express the topic. And so one way to put this out there is, do most women have a rape fantasy? The other way is, why do so many women want to be raped by a stranger? And this topic, hey man, exactly. A lot of guys know this is true. We just don't talk about it. It's such a taboo topic. We can't even discuss it. But tonight we are going to get into it, and the pun is intended. There's a gentleman, you guys have seen him on the show, Red Pill Rican. He posted something about a guy who kidnapped a woman and told her, I think she had 3 months to fall in love with him. And he abused her. I think he even raped her. He sexually and physically abused the woman with the hope that she would fall in love. And, you know, my comment was, you know, this is going to be a movie, like Lifetime Television will make a movie out of this. And someone said, hey, Ted, they've already done it. The movie is called 365 Days. And I found the movie. And the movie is literally about a guy who kidnaps a woman and he doesn't abuse her. This is an exceptionally wealthy guy. If you decide to watch the movie, they speak a lot in the place where I'm watching it. I've only watched about an hour of it, but after 30 minutes, the message is clear, right? This woman has been kidnapped. You see that at some point there's some level of submission to this guy, but he lives in a mansion. Probably 80,000 square foot mansion, and this guy has his own private jet, and his dad was recently assassinated, I should say. So I don't know if this is mafia. I don't know. Yeah, hey, what's up, Chris? This is 50 Shades of Grey. This is a little bit more. So the post that Red Pill Rican made was of a guy who in real life kidnapped a woman. And I asked, you know, I said it should be a movie. And someone said they already did the movie, 365 Days. I found the movie. And it seems that in real life, this guy copied and imitated the movie. So in the movie, some wealthy dude kidnaps this woman and he tells her that you have 365 days. Today is your birthday. And 1 year from today, I will release you, except you're going to fall in love with me. So the movie is about him doing the things for her to fall in love. But it's very interesting because this man, so many people use the word simp. This guy is not close to a simp. He establishes very, very clear dominance. Like, no question, no doubt, he is not there to cater to this woman. She is there for him, but he's not physically abusive, not even emotionally. I mean, I guess kidnapping someone is going to create emotional duress. He takes her shopping and, you know, seems like one of those blank credit cards. You know, he takes her shopping with a blank check and she just buys up everything. And he's got guards, bodyguards. He's got people around him all day long who are, everyone is at his beck and call just like that. And so what you see is a woman who's turned on by power. And the movie and even the notion of this, do most women have a rape fantasy? What you guys are going to discover is that perhaps women have much more resentment for men than men realize. Women are looking for a level of power with men, and they are not always getting it. Hey, yeah, definitely. There's some false accusations. I'm going to pull up one or two videos about that, and it's specifically to this topic. It's mind-boggling when you see this. Right, yeah, women who actually do get raped. it is bad for women who it actually happens. But so you know, in one sense, you can wrap your head around this topic, right? So there are women who want to be forced or raped. The first time I ever heard a woman say this, I think maybe I was about 30, and, well, 28 actually, the first time I heard it. And I said, no, this isn't what you want. You just want a man that you know to be forceful. And she was like, no, I want it to be a stranger. And the women that I first met telling me this, these women all had advanced degrees, grad school, law school, you know, master's degrees. These are well-educated, attractive, what you would call your intelligent, you know, above average intelligence women who had great jobs and great lives. And I'm thinking of one woman who was married. And when she said she wanted to be raped by a man, I said, you know, you're married. Why don't you ask your husband to do it? She said, no, I want it to be a stranger. And I was like telling these women, if this happens, you're going to regret it. It's not what you really want. And they were like, yeah, what they wanted was the power and essence of a man. So as much as we tell women that they're equal to men, the one thing that feminists haven't been able to stop is Mother Nature and the biology of a female and her absolute desire for masculinity and the absolute idea that she is not equal to men. So part of that, this whole rape fantasy, from what women have told me personally, is they really want to feel the power and dominance of a man. That is what they're looking for. So, and I know we've been told girls are made of sugar and spice and everything nice. And why don't I tell you, here were my thoughts about this. Look, before you call me a misogynist, let's look at the facts. Results indicate that 62, that's two-thirds of women have a rape fantasy. So do you understand that's the majority of women? Not by slight, that's the majority. On average, and this is what the study found, on average, women fantasize about being raped about four times a year. However, at least 14% think about being raped once a week. They have a fantasy about that. So maybe we need to update stories like fairy tales like Snow White and Cinderella, because women, their sexual proclivities are very different, and maybe they're not. So while men are being taught that women are made of sugar and spice and everything nice, women are saying, dominate me and show me the power of your masculinity. Men are walking around believing they need to buy women flowers and be romantic. Meanwhile, women are desiring the power of your manhood. Just because she tells you to be tender and gentle does not mean that is what her heart and soul desires. And I'm not saying no woman ever wants tenderness from a man, because all men, we know how to do that. But what's really yearning and burning inside of so many women? So if men are wondering why they have been having such a difficult time with women, it is because they have not been listening to what women are not saying, right? Just think about the jokes that comedians make when you ask a woman, what do you want to eat, right? So there's so much women don't say. So what women are not saying out of their mouths is take me, consume me, ravish me, except their behavior does say that. That's what they want. And men are bringing flowers and getting on one knee. What's going on, PJ? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Thank you. Thank you. So those are my initial thoughts about this topic. Yeah, PJ, you know what? Let me share a statistic from National Institute of Health, NIH, and let's see what they say about their studies and women having rape fantasies. This way, no one can say, this is Ted's opinion. You know, people like to say, well, that's your opinion. Well, I have no dog in this fight. Not at all. If this is a fantasy women want, so be it. Guys, if you're not subscribed to my channel, this is a good time to do that. Hit the bell. Smash that subscribe. Hit the bell so you receive all notifications when I have something coming out. Smash that like button as you come in and share this one. This topic is so taboo that maybe some people are going to be upset and angry for me putting it on the table, except it's real. I generally only address things that are actually happening in the real world. I mean, I do bring up topics that are probably not heavily or researched at all, but this one has. And it's much more prevalent than men believe. So at National Institute of Health, NIH, as you can see, it says the nature of women's rape fantasies, an analysis of prevalence, frequency, and contents. The abstract for this study is the following. This study evaluated the rape fantasies of female undergraduates, 355. Using a fantasy checklist that reflected the legal definition of rape and a sexual fantasy log that included systematic prompts and self-ratings. Results indicated that 62% of women have had a rape fantasy, which is somewhat higher than previous estimates. For women who have had rape fantasies, the median frequency of these fantasies was about 4 times a year, with 14% of participants reporting that they had rape fantasies at least once a week. In contrast to previous research, which suggested that rape fantasies were either entirely aversive or entirely erotic, rape fantasies were found to exist on an erotic aversion continuum, with 9% completely aversive, 45% completely erotic, and 46% both erotic and aversive. So this is not new, and I even read some things where they were talking about this research even goes back even to the 1940s. So this is not the first time that they're looking at this taboo topic, except NIH is what people would call a very credible organization. And I know someone recently told me NIH can be debunked and their stuff can be all lies and blah, blah, blah. So that was probably someone who wasn't very familiar with NIH. Before I get into some of the other facts, because we're going to talk about what is it women are looking for when they have a desire, when they have a fantasy to be raped, and what kind of woman wants that. I mean, this is a good time to say not all women want that, except 62%, and it's not the only study that found that kind of number. That's a lot of women. Yeah, man, sensitive topic. And so I'm not having this topic to trigger anyone. I'm having this topic, I'm addressing it because it's one more way for men to understand what women are truly desiring from men, and perhaps why we have so many problems in the U.S. in male-female relationships. A lot of men have been misinformed, like, you know, women are so innocent, sugar and spice, and here you have two-thirds of women, nearly two-thirds, want to be, have forced sex, rape. You know, some of you guys have heard me say the only time I drink alcohol is if I'm at home or at a woman's place and I know we're going to have sex. Otherwise, I don't drink. I never drink in public. Not that I've never drank in my life, but I just, you know, working out, it just seems to be counterproductive for the kind of health I'm committed to. So if I'm with a woman, whatever she's drinking, I'll drink. Part of it is because a woman will lose inhibitions through alcohol and sometimes blame her behavior on the alcohol. So whatever it takes to get them, to push them over that edge, to get to a place that they may not know how to go by themselves, get there by themselves, they can use alcohol as the excuse. You guys know I take calls. The phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. And I'm going to start taking some calls. Area code 870. 870, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
What up, Ted? This good old country boy out here in Arkansas. What's happening, man?
Hey, man, everything is groovy. You know how they used to say in the good old days. What's going on, man? Happy New Year to you.
The same to you. I would say this much, Ted, starting off, this not no sensitive topic. This is a topic that's been ignored and just been looked over by society. We need to know how many women out here actually want these crazy sex or rape fantasies, and then we need to let them have the thugs that's out here doing this crazy stuff, man. Because what's going to happen here, the women that don't fall in these categories, those are the ones that need to be set aside for the men that are looking for marriage. Because with all this rape stuff going on, I say the laws of the land need to just let these men have them. That's what I say. Stop trying to protect them and let these men go on and take it. Stop acting like you some pre-Madonna and then during the day, and by night, you one of these prostitutes by the night. Now, go on, call a spade, and stop playing with grown folk. That's what I say. And any of these gentlemen on this call listening, Ted, I guarantee you they would agree with me.
Okay.
This is foolishness. This is insanity, man.
So we're going to get into and look at the kind of women that actually have that desire. And,
yeah, they know they want them thugs. They want to be ravaged by these dudes. They want it.
Some of you are going to be surprised by
the
kinds of women that actually seek this. Some of you are going to be quite surprised.
Yeah, man, it's all in social media, all on the TV, everywhere. These women want a specific type of group of men to just take it. And you know I'm telling the truth, God. I'll tell the honest God truth. I wasn't there to lie to you.
Some of them, yes. Not all, though.
But they want that sexual domination, I bet you. They want to be sexually dominated by a certain dude. And if you don't meet that criteria, she say to hell with you. I'm just going to go on and find me a Puka, a Ray Ray. Don't blow my back out, and then I'll come back and holler at you later on. That's how a lot of them look at it. We need to stop playing, stop kidding ourselves.
Yeah, that definitely happens. No question, no doubt. Hey, hold on. Let me take another call. I'm not sure if this person may be just listening. So it's an unknown number. I just have 111. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from? Do you have me on mute or are you just listening? Okay, so I'll put you back on hold. So some people might, from what you just said, some of the thoughts and the kinds of women, you may find them almost insane. So let's just listen to a quick news report. It's less than 60 seconds. They're going to talk about this rape fantasy.
19-year-old woman is being held on a misdemeanor charge after falsely reporting she was sexually assaulted at Mound State Park. We first told you about the incident in July when the woman told police she was jogging when a man came up behind her, pushed her, groped her, and hit her several times before she was able to get away. Since then, detectives have determined that woman, now identified as Marguerite Maggie Wallace of Pendleton, had arranged to meet up with her alleged attacker to fulfill a rape fantasy. A 17-year-old male cooperated with investigators and told them he met Wallace on an app known as Whisper. Police say Wallace ultimately admitted she was lying about the assault and now faces a charge of false reporting.
So there's some closet women out there. So she arranged to meet with the guy she met on an app who was supposed to rape her. And then she filed charges. So I don't know if that's extreme yet, but let's look at one more. Now, this one is for sure extreme.
Investigators say it wasn't a home invasion, but a sexual fantasy that led to a fatal shooting in Floyd County.
Prosecutors officially charged 31-year-old Lisa Shuler with the murder of Charles Pierce. WLKY's Drew Douglas has been following the story since it first happened Monday night. He's live from the Floyd County Sheriff's Department with more. Drew?
Rick, Charles Pierce's mother told me yesterday that she wanted answers about what happened to her son. Today, Floyd County authorities gave us those bizarre details involving pictures, sex, and an attempt to cover it up. Court documents say Lisa Shuler shot and killed 49-year-old Charles Eddie Pierce after inviting him over to play out a rape fantasy at her home on the 3800 block of Wabash Avenue Monday night. Floyd County Prosecutor Keith Henderson says Shuler performed oral sex on Pierce after he arrived and then shot him multiple times.
His lower garments, his pants were down.
and that's how the police found him at the time. The probable cause affidavit states Shuler admitted to killing Pierce because she thought he would show her husband pictures of their previous sexual encounters. We're told by multiple sources that Shuler had been married for several years, but recently separated from her husband. Henderson says hiding the affair is one of the possible motives Shuler had for committing murder. That relationship was not known to her husband. Court records say Shuler deleted more than 200 text messages from her cell phone and also told detectives she tried to get rid of the messages on Pierce's phone as she called 911 to report the shooting. Investigators say Shuler tried to continue her cover-up from there, telling a 911 operator Pierce had broken in. Clearly, information received subsequent to that revealed that this was a familiar relationship and not a betrayal. Authorities say they don't know how the two met or how many times they met for sex. Floyd County Sheriff Daryl Mills calls the case very unusual.
This is not one that the police deal with on a regular basis, though.
Shuler is being held here at the Floyd County Jail without bail. She's expected to appear in court tomorrow afternoon. Live from the Floyd County.
So as you see, this topic is quite taboo, and there are some women out there who don't want to be known for having these kinds of fantasies. So going through the extreme of reporting a false rape, and at the worst extreme is actually murdering the guy for fear that he would expose her. So there are some women out there who have these fantasies and don't. Apparently it must be so taboo for some women that they just can't even allow that side of their life to be exposed. I mean, that's incredible, right? So maybe a woman would be more comfortable being with another woman than being exposed for having a rape fantasy. Insane, huh?
Okay. I guarantee you, if you turn some of them loose with those sex offenders, I guarantee they ain't gonna have too many crazy fans.
Yeah, yep.
Eric, that's the case, we need to turn them sex offenders loose, Ted. If that's the case.
Hey Joe,
there was
doing?
A book written by Nancy Friday about 20 years ago. It's called. Oh, it just skipped my tongue. Forbidden Fruit. I forget the name of it.
I heard of the book. I'm going to play a video, and I think the guy is going to mention that book. But keep going, Joe.
Okay. And the number one fantasy for women is rape. Not that they want to be brutally raped, but they want to be forcibly taken by a guy, of course, out of their control, while at the same time under their control. And that's one of the fantasies, and it's the top fantasy that Nancy Friday had written about in her interviews and surveys taken of women. Forbidden Garden, I think, is the name of the book.
So, yeah, it's a big fantasy. I mean, and look at the trouble women. Those are two cases, and there I saw some others. I'm not going to play them all. But look at the trouble those women went through to conceal that fantasy they had. It backfired in both cases.
You know, and I'm thinking nowadays that the second or at least one of the top five other fantasies that women have is that if they ever do procure this rape fantasy of theirs, the other fantasy would be to put the guy in jail. Just so she can claim victimhood and say that she came back from a cataclysmic situation, and just to see somebody suffer. I would not be surprised if that was if not the top five, if somebody wants to refute me on that, but the top 10.
Hey, Ms. Joe, but you're probably right, though. Think about it, because back before this Me Too stuff started, Weinstein and a couple of other high-quality men that got power in the movie industry, a lot of them dudes had got all kind of crazy accusations came out against them. And ever since then, all of a sudden, all other men considered them trying to do something to women. And then they started the whole MGTOW movement. You see what I'm saying? So dudes started to bag up off them. The smart men started to bag away from these women. And we've been messed up ever since.
Yep. Let me take another caller here. Area code 405. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, Tay? It's Chris. This is we touched on this what, like three weeks ago maybe? Like very briefly I told you that was their number one fantasy.
Okay.
It was on one of the shows. I don't remember. It was one of the shows I briefly mentioned it. But yeah, it's prevalent in the vast majority of women. They have this fantasy. And it's just because they deep down they have a desire to be dominated. That's why the number one consumers of gay porn are women, because they like to see one man dominate another man.
Hmm.
And Joe just said hey, what's going on, Joe, by the way, and Kendrick.
Hey.
Happy New Year, everybody. Joe mentioned that the second thing they want to do after they experience this rape is to have the man jailed. No, it's not. The second thing they want to do after that is kill the man, because to them – that's their way of taking the same power or establishing the same power that man just dominated them with. So that's their second. That's why you see a lot of women just, you know, they kill men, you know, so indiscriminately, is because that's their way of being powerful compared to, you know, to a man. It's a false perception of power.
Let me bring in another caller here. Area code 415. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? It's Alex calling from San Francisco.
What's going on, Alex? Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah, I was listening in. I mean, I think we've all thought about this topic, and I haven't gotten to the bottom of it myself, but I heard Joe and Chris weigh in, and I think Chris is getting at it. I think what happens is that, you know, after some sort of non-consensual encounter, the woman takes a status hit, right? She couldn't defend herself, or she, you know, she submitted to some guy. I mean, you know, it's kind of complicated. It's not, you know, the woman can put up more or less of a battle there, right? And so she submits. She's essentially giving in to some other guy's whim. So she's not exercising her agency. So she takes a social status hit in the group if anybody finds out. Even in the eyes, it's a two-person system. And even in that two-person system, her status has been lowered because the guy dominated her. So she wants to get back at him. And if anyone finds out, she's going to, you know, try to, you know, find a way to get back at the situation so she can jump back up the social hierarchy. So it's sort of a, you know, it's complicated, but I think women like it because, I mean, it's a vehicle to get impregnated. If she's a lower status female, it's certainly a way, you know, a higher status guy is not going to waste time on her unless it's a quickie in this kind of circumstance. So it's a vehicle for some women to get impregnated by a higher status guy that doesn't want to waste time on the courtship ritual. That's my take for now, but yeah.
These aren't always non-consensual.
Right, exactly.
Ted
mentioned,
As Ted mentioned, one of the stories was a married woman who was scared her husband would find out. So a lot of times they have these fantasies and they enact them, but they're scared they'll be shamed for the actual act or for whatever took place because the guy will brag to a friend or whatever. So, you know, they'll go ahead and they'll kill him, you know. That's their way to take the power back, you know.
Right. So I think we can agree that she takes a social status hit if she doesn't put up a fight, essentially. Yeah.
It's a perceived, because a lot of times, you know, men have these, we just don't care. You know what I mean? Like, we get our rocks off, but with them, they have all the, like Ted said before, they have all these conversations in their head that we're not privy to. So they're having all these conflicting arguments in their head that we don't care about, you know. We don't even think about them. We're not part of them, you know. And if we were to, like, if they had thought bubbles and we could read the thought bubbles, we just tell them, hey, look, stop. We don't care, you know. But since they don't have thought bubbles, we don't know what they're thinking. But what they're running through their head is all this bad shit that you don't even care about. It's like the meme. You see the couple laying in bed at night, and the wife is the woman is staring over at the man, thinking all this negative shit, like, oh, he's cheating on me. He's probably thinking about that girl at work and blah blah blah. And the guy's just sitting there like, I wonder if I put, you know, the new start on that Camaro tomorrow, will it crank?
Right. Yeah, I think what you're getting at is we don't know why they've got these types of fantasies. I mean, we can hypothesize all day. We know for a fact that women have this is the most common fantasy amongst women sexually, but we don't know why.
That's where the juicy part is.
But, you know,
and then at the same time, Chris,
it's a mating strategy. I mean, they like the dominant men. It's you know, we're nothing more than animals, and they like the dominant men. And a dominant man, he's not going to act. That's why they get so bored. That's why women cheat on their husbands so much, because they've been with these men for so long that this guy, he becomes docile to them. You know, to them, he's lost his edge or whatever. So what are they going to do? They're going to go out and try to find some guy who's going to be, you know, approach them aggressively, and he's not going to care if they're married or not. He just wants to get his rocks off, and to them, that turns them on.
Am I able to squeeze in? Can the brother hear me?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah. Happy New Year to you, man.
I barely hear you. Yeah.
Right. Not cut you off, but I want to point you just name. Have I been on with you before, brother? I think I've been on with you before. I think we've built one type of transition.
Probably. Can you turn your volume up a little bit?
His name is Chris.
Yeah, I believe. I recognize his voice.
It's the 80s and 90s.
I want to camel back on what you said about that's why she cheats, because the husband gets docile. He gets docile, less mysterious, less dangerous. And, you know, in this Western world, he gets comfortable with her. He gets predictable and not exciting. He also starts to think she's his equal because of the way she garners power. And, you know, some arguments he had to let her have it. And, I mean, he could also be there's many factors that play into that. And the new dude, like you said, don't give a fuck. And he's trying to make a statement. Also, what you guys are talking about with the rape fantasy, I wanted to mention that they do have that. They do like that. And they prefer the act of it to be similar to that period anyway, because sex is just a form of domination.
Right.
And... I mean, more than likely, girls are not going for guys that are smaller than them. You know, she's just towering over this little guy. She gets the guy that's bigger than her. That could probably take it from her if she wanted to. You know, that they normally go for guys that big, and that represents a form of domination. And they prefer it to be like that. They prefer sex to be, to have that aggression and that, which, I mean, you can call it aggression. Or you can sugarcoat it and call it passion sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So let me give you guys some, I'm going to tell you what the psychologists say about this. So there is a lot of research in this area, like a lot. So here's an article from Psychology Today. It was written August of 2015. Title is, Why Do Women Have Rape Fantasies? Rape fantasies reflect women's erotic comfort wherever it may lead. Here are the key points to the article. According to one study, 62% of women admit it. Hey, so guys, go on mute. I can hear people in the background. 62% of women admit it to fantasizing about being forced to have sex. Another key point is one explanation for women fantasizing about forced sex is that it bolsters their feelings of seductiveness and desirability. Third point is women who have rape fantasies do not want to be sexually assaulted. Rather, they feel comfortable with their own sexuality. In recent studies, more than 90% of women admitted having had sexual fantasies. And depending on the study, some one-third to two-thirds confess at least occasional fantasies of being forced into sex. Of course, sexual assault is a horrible violation. Why would any sane woman fantasize about it? A recent study suggests that rape fantasies are most prevalent among women who are the most erotically open and adventurous, who feel most comfortable daydreaming about sexual situations way beyond what they'd ever want to experience. Researchers at Notre Dame and University of North Texas gave standard psychological tests to 355 women undergraduates who formed a reasonable demographic cross-section of young Americans. Then the researchers surveyed the women's sexual fantasies. And finally, the women were asked if they ever fantasized. Number one, so this is what they asked if they were fantasized about this. Number one, hey guys, go on mute. You've got someone in the background. Number one, being forced by a man to surrender sexually against my will. That's number one fantasy. Number two, being forced by a woman to surrender sexually against my will. Number three, being forced into sex against my will because I was incapacitated by drugs, alcohol, or being unconscious. Number four, being forced by a man to give him oral sex. Number five, being forced by a woman to give her oral sex. Number six, being forced to have anal sex. Number seven, being raped by a man. Number eight, being raped by a woman. Note, the researchers did not define or define forced or rape, leaving participants to use their own understanding of these terms, forced having somewhat less negative connotations than rape. Explanations, old and new. This study was far from the first to attempt to understand why women have rape fantasies. Decades ago, psychologists believed that dreams and fantasies, daydreams, or were subconscious wishes. Therefore, women who had rape fantasies actually wanted to be coerced into sex. That view has been thoroughly debunked. Fantasies don't necessarily reflect wishes. Among those in long-term relationships, one of the most common fantasies is sex with someone else, even when the daydreamer is happy in a relationship and has no desire, real desire to jump into another bed. Plenty of men fantasize about saving damsels in distress without the slightest real wish to face a raging fire on the 23rd floor. Wishing plays a role in some fantasies, notably dreams of striking rich or losing weight, but having an erotic fantasy in no way means you want to have it come true. So forget
I never have a fantasy about saving a bitch. I'm sorry, Ted.
Well, no, they were making it analogous. If a guy does have a fantasy to save a woman, for example, that's an extreme one.
I know. I just wanted to throw my coat on it. You know how we do. I'm sorry.
All right. So here are some of the reasons they're saying women have these fantasies. Sexual blame avoidance. This is the most popular explanation. It recognizes that women's erotic desires may trigger feelings of anxiety, guilt, and shame. How can women enjoy robust sexual fantasies without developing these feelings? Fantasize about being forced. That way, women aren't responsible for sex and need not feel distressed about it. Was forced, it wasn't my fault. The other is sexual desirability. These are the reasons for wanting to be raped. This sexual desirability, this explanation reflects the arc of romance fiction, which is widely popular among women and the single largest selling category of fiction. Interesting. In romance novels, a powerful, dangerous man becomes so enthralled by the protagonist that he must have her, even if his pursuit is assaultive. Eventually, she tames him, and they marry and have children. The sexual desirability explanation says that women have rape fantasies to bolster feelings of seductiveness and desirability. I am so hot, I drive men crazy. And the third reason for having a rape fantasy is sexual openness. This explanation says that women who enjoy sex and accept their enjoyment without anxiety, guilt, or shame feel sufficiently free to play with erotic scenarios beyond the boundaries of what they'd ever want to experience in real life. It's fantasy. I'm free to fantasize anything. So here were the results of the studies they did. Confirming earlier studies on prevalence of rape fantasy, 62% of participants admitted fantasizing at least one of the eight scenarios. Remember, I gave eight scenarios, being raped by a man or a woman, oral sex. So 52% of the women said they had a fantasy to be forced by a man, 32% raped by a man, 28% forced oral by a man, 24% forced while incapacitated, you know, drunk or drugged. 17% forced by a woman, 16% forced anal, 9% raped by a woman, and 9% forced oral by a woman. So interesting. 52%, as you see, wanted a guy to force them. Note, the participants were considerably more likely to fantasize being forced than raped, presumably because rape carries more connotations of violence and harm. The high prevalence of rape fantasies, almost two-thirds of the women suggest that they play a significant role in the fantasy lives of college-age women, and presumably many older women as well. Meanwhile, in line with other assessments, 15% of study participants reported being survivors of sexual assault. The researchers found no relationship, either direct or inverse, between real-life rape and whether participants had any type of rape fantasy. The frequency of rape fantasies varied considerably. Among respondents who admitted fantasies of being forced by men, 33% had less than they admitted fantasies of being forced by men. 33% had them less than once a year, 26% a few times a year, 20% once a month, 11% weekly, and 9% had a fantasy of being raped by forced by men 4 times a week. Among 71 participants who reported fantasies of being forced by women, 50% said they were heterosexual. Interesting. Here's the last bit of this article. Which explanation is most compelling? Contrary to the conventional wisdom that rape fantasies are based on blame avoidance, it was coerced. It wasn't my fault. The researchers found that this least supported explanation. The most sexually anxious, guilty, and repressed women had the fewest rape fantasies. The data provided the most support for sexual openness. I'm free to fantasize anything, followed by sexual desirability. I'm so hot, I drive men crazy. The most sexually open and self-accepting women had the most rape fantasies. They also had the most fantasies of consensual sex, and they reported the most arousal from their erotic fantasies. The women who considered themselves hotties also had frequent rape fantasies. They were also the most likely to fantasize about being strippers. Interesting. In fantasy, everything is permitted and nothing is wrong. Not everyone accepts this, but as sexual openness increases, so does willingness to daydream about sexual scenarios one would never really want to experience. Women who have rape fantasies don't want to be sexually assaulted. They feel comfortable with their own sexuality and are happy to embrace their erotic fantasies wherever they may lead. So that's Psychology Today. That's based on research.
And at the same time, a lot of this stuff get a man locked up.
They mentioned a point that I was just about to bring up, that the more sexual partners a woman has, the more frequent rape fantasy she's going to have, the more she's going to want to be dominated by a man.
I agree, Chris.
Which, if you haven't noticed, that a lot of them, and I don't even know if they do this subliminally or if they're aware they're doing it, they put themselves in predicaments to where it can happen, where the actual event can happen, i.e.
We
they
got
go to
background
the club
noise.
Hey, that's not me. I don't know who that is. I think that's Alex.
No, it's
but they put themselves in predicaments to where the actual event can happen, i.e. they go to the club, they get drunk, and somehow they end up by themselves, you know, and they don't know where they are or how they got there, or, you know, they go to these parties and they black out drunk in front of a bunch of strange men. And like I said, I don't know if they're even doing that subconsciously or if it's done intentionally, but I do know it's something that's prevalent among promiscuous women.
Yeah, they,
you know, Ted, I was reading your description page, and I like that you had written it seemed like Snow White and Cinderella fantasies need to have an update.
One common thing.
Right. Instead of the woman to kiss her, he rapes her, right? Or he climbs in her window and you know, puts handcuffs on her instead of a shoe. Oh, these handcuffs fit you. Wow. So go ahead.
Some of them women turn out to be vindictive, though.
Well, like according to the modern consensus, when the prince went in through the window to kiss Snow White, I think that was rape, right?
Well,
you know,
today
kisses
today
her without consent.
He kissed her without consent, so that would be considered.
That'd be the R word, yeah. But one thing I wanted to get straight
yeah,
with.
I would Alex, yeah. I would address that,
yeah.
But Kendrick
yeah.
was talking.
Right.
Kendrick.
Okay.
But I'm agreeing heavily on what Chris saying though, because in certain instances, after these women can do the whole flip flop and she all innocent and all that. After the rape, and she can be vindictive and try to intentionally get that dude sent away for a whole lot of time in prison. That's what these women doing. So a lot of dudes going like, hey, I'm going to leave you alone. We're going to bag up off of you.
Yep. So I'm
ran
still
through peace or tail worth me going and doing 35 to life, okay.
I'm going to bring some more psychologists in to address this, so that they're going to give you some other insight. But go ahead, Alex, you were going. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just going to say this is an aside, but it's an interesting aside. If you guys remember the story of the Stanford swimmer who was accused of raping a fellow student, or maybe she wasn't a fellow student. I don't think she was a Stanford student. She was at a party on the Stanford campus, and it turns out it was digital. You know, he used his hand on her. There was no sexual organs involved. I guess it was hers involved, but his,
really?
You know, there was no penis in vagina there. Right. So the media called it rape, but of course there's a technicality, right? It's forcible sexual contact, but it wasn't rape is defined by, you know, penis and vagina forcible intercourse. So it's complicated, but it's important to make sure we, you know, use the terminology correctly. So the media will run wild with these stories of much more, you know, they oversimplify the issues. The nuance gets lost. So it's important to address the nuance.
Well,
so
it is.
That's just,
it
that's
is
just
important
a story.
Because,
that yeah. Yeah.
For one thing, I know of a friend of mine who had a conversation with a woman and she had told him she was raped. So he said, oh, that's terrible. What happened? So she said she was on a bus going to work,
right.
And it was crowded, and she was bumping up against the guy. And she saw that the guy was looking at her, and now the guy was getting a hard-on. So the guy fixed his pants, had an erection, and from that, they're talking about nuance. She said she was raped. She believed that she was somehow raped. Just like they have these new terminologies about emotional violence. If you upset somebody, it's now emotional violence. So all these things are getting out of hand.
So, but here's in the face of Me Too, in the face of toxic masculinity, this has got to be an extraordinarily taboo topic, because in the face of all the things you guys are saying, and I did play two clips where one woman killed the guy that she had arranged. She was married, and she arranged for forced sex with the guy, and the other woman met a dude on some website called Whisper, and they were supposed to meet, and he was going to jump out the bushes, and she accused him of raping her. So in the face of that happening, there's still a huge percentage of women who want that kind of domination from a man. They desire it. And so I'm going to play one clip and let these two psychologists talk it through, and then we're going to discuss it. And then I'm going to play a second clip. So we're going to present different perspectives. It's, you know, you guys hear me talk about conflict resolution, and the secret that you really don't hear about conflict resolution is that the conflict is almost never with the other person. It's the conflict you have with yourself that creates the conflict with the other person. You could say hello to a woman walking down the street and she's angry. She's got a conflict because the conflict is she's been told you're going to rape me, right? Because you said hello. You just want to fuck me. And so she has no way of managing that conflict. So she becomes angry. And this is what happens with people across the board. We misinterpret things, or we have an interpretation based on what we already know. So there are women who want to be completely dominated, what they were told, being feminine, being a woman is weak. And so women are so much conflict with themselves and their biology and the kind of masculinity they want from men that it's just creating havoc right now. And those two cases of the women reporting the men those are just out of control cases, you know, to kill the guy, to cover up her own fantasy. So,
yo, T.
Yes.
I know you now know that all of Bundy's victims, not Bundy, but that Manson dude, don't you now know that some of the women that he convinced, that he converted them over, don't you now know LS, one of those women, was writing letters and things about that man while he was in the pen? I kid
yes.
you not.
No, no, we, yeah.
And some of them did with Bundy also. Some of Bundy's victims did the same stuff.
Yep, yep. And Bundy married a woman while in prison, right? I think that's
right.
Correct.
But do you see the sanity in it?
Well, this is the point I'm making, that the women are in conflict. So you're giving examples of how women could desire a dominant man, yet society tells them they're wrong and they're weak, and that's not what women should do. Women should be equal, but it's not what really women, biologically, it's not what they want. So that's what I'm talking about, the conflict. So conflict resolution is really about resolving that internal conflict as opposed to projecting it onto another person. You follow me?
Oh, yes. I quite, yes, sir. I kind of follow what you're saying.
All right, good, good. What's going on, Nelly Nell? Good to see you in the house. Happy New Year, man. Thanks for joining. So I want to play this. This is two psychologists. It's going to be a man and a woman. And they're going to talk about rape fantasies.
One common fantasy among women that I know a lot of women have, and a lot of people hate to hear this, and I've discussed this in my podcast with other sex therapists, is the rape fantasy for women. And, you know, the idea that a woman, you know, women don't, nobody wants to be raped, but women have these rape fantasies. And this is super common. Why do you think that occurs? And what does that mean?
So I do find in my work that these so-called rape fantasies, and I don't like that term. I tend to use the term forced sex fantasy or consensual non-consent fantasy, because the types of fantasies we're talking about here really have no resemblance to a real world sexual assault. Because when you think about these fantasies, the person who is having that fantasy is in control. They get to select who their partner or partners are, the terms and conditions under which the encounter takes place, when it starts, when it ends. And so when you're the fantasizer, you're in control, and it is consensual, even if what you're fantasizing about is forced, right? So I think it's important for us to reframe our conversations around these fantasies, and I think taking that rape term out of it is kind of a helpful first step. And something that I think a lot of people will find to be interesting is that it's not just women who have these fantasies. I find that the majority of self-identified men, a majority of people who identify as gender non-binary, report having these fantasies about sex being forced on them. Now, women are more likely to have these fantasies than men are, but most men have had that fantasy before too. And so it's not something that's unique to any one gender. And I think part of it speaks to the fact that submission, sexual submission in general, is a really common sexual fantasy. And coupled with that is this desire to be overwhelmingly desired by someone else. And I think that's why these fantasies are also sometimes called ravishment fantasies. It's because you want a part find you so irresistible that they can't help themselves or control themselves. And so I think these fantasies speak to deeper desires for things like submission and for feeling wanted and feeling irresistible more than anything else. And so we need to totally separate and distance this from, you know, discussions about rape and sexual assault in the real world, because that is a totally different and abhorrent thing, whereas these fantasies are things that have totally different roots and are unrelated.
Yeah, I'm glad that you made that distinction. The consent, non-consent, or CNC, as I've seen it abbreviated online, is something that has come up a lot lately, especially with the New York Times article about Pornhub, and you know they claimed that it was rape, that it was infested with rape videos, where a lot of people argued these are consent, non-consent videos that performers willingly engage in, and this falls under the First Amendment. You know, people are allowed to make this kind of content as long as obviously the adults are consenting adults and they're acting out of fantasy and it is not true to life. And there's a lot of people that have a really hard time wrapping their head around the idea that maybe a CNC fantasy could be a situation where could it be a place for healing. Like, I've talked to some performers who said that they like to engage in these kinds of scenes because, like you mentioned before, it allows them to take control over a situation that perhaps they had a traumatic experience with in their past, but reliving it in a controlled, safe environment helps them process that experience. Is that something that you've come across?
So I have seen something along those lines, in the sense that for many people, their fantasies are therapeutic, in a sense, mm-hmm. where they are working through some previous trauma that they've endured. And so sometimes in our fantasies, we put ourselves in positions or we craft scenarios, give us this sense of control that maybe we felt we were lacking at a previous point in life or during a previous experience. So there is something to that idea. But when it comes to actually acting out these consensual, non-consent, or forced sex fantasies, I find that there's actually a lot of concern among my participants about doing that. So while these are extraordinarily common fantasies, a lot of people say, you know, the idea of this is arousing to me, but I don't actually want to act on it because if I do, I have to give up some degree of control to the other person, or I have to place a lot of trust in someone else in order to carry this out, and I'm just not really comfortable with that. So I think we always need to make the distinction between sexual fantasy and sexual desire. And sometimes fantasy is just a fantasy. It's a thought that turns you on. Maybe you turn to that thought during masturbation or during partnered sex, but you have no desire to actually incorporate it in your real life for a wide range of reasons. One being that maybe you think it's too risky to act on, or you don't think you could trust another partner enough to get that fantasy in a way that would, or to act on that fantasy in a way that would make you feel comfortable and at ease.
Thank you.
So what do you guys think?
I think some of these people need some help, man.
Some of these people what?
They need some help.
Why do you say that?
Not the psychologist. I mean, as far as these people that's keeping up with this, with the whole, the social norms. If you follow what I'm saying, with all these different mindsets and these fantasies, some of these people gonna have to be now reevaluated. God, what's the name? What's the word I'm trying to use? Institutionalized here. Some of them, cause. Is that even safe for them to be in the mingling with the so-called quote-unquote normal people? With all this,
I don't personally think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's just embedded in their DNA to want to be dominated. I mean, it's since the beginning of the time, women have always desired dominant men, and you know, before men used to do this, you know, there was there was no name to this before, you know, back in the caveman days, the men just walk up and they, you know, they took it, you know, they took what they wanted, you know. And I think, you know, I don't think as humans, you know, as much as we have evolved from, you know, Neanderthals, we still have some remnants of Neanderthals left in our DNA. And I think, you know, the desire for women to be completely and utterly dominated by a man to ensure that they, you know, have the healthiest offspring and all this and that, and they're protected and provided for, I think that's always going to be there in women. I don't think it makes them, you know, sick or anything. I just wish they would just stop denying that they have these desires.
Right.
But you understand what I'm saying, though, Chris. Some of them can be vindictive with this stuff.
I think one valuable way to look at it is it's very rare. I can't think of a single case. I'm sure it's on the book somewhere, but of a woman raping a man. But I think it certainly happens. I think it's less. It's difficult for a variety of reasons. But it happens, and typically when a man gets raped by a woman, society says, oh, it's what he would have wanted anyway, so it's not really, you know, like guys like that stuff, you know. So I don't think they're necessarily wrong, but I think we have, as a society, I think we personally, this is my personal take, your opinion could be different, but I think there's a value. I don't see a lot of rape cases I don't see as bad. A lot of people equate rape and murder, and they think rape is almost as bad or whatever. Personally, I don't see it that way. But, you know, it's up to the judge and jury to decide how violent, how egregious the crime was. But for your average case, to me, it's not necessarily – it's a violent crime, but it's a certain type of crime. Anyway, my point is we as a society need to decide, you know – it's a taboo subject, but it's rape that bad? You know what I mean? Like, if women can rape men and it's not seen as particularly bad, how violent of a crime can it really be? You know, we see male to female rape as much, much worse as female to male. So why is that? You know, I mean, you know why? You know, let's look into it. Why is that the case? I'm not sure. I know the answer.
Exactly. I agree with you. Either it's bad or it's not. We can't say it's bad when the men do it, but it's not bad when the women do it. And typically when the women do it, they're doing it to underage boys. I know a friend, you say it can't happen, but I have a friend who actually did happen to him, and it happened, it was by a woman that was in her 60s. She had dementia, and she just, you know, he was like 12 or 13, and we all know that at boys, you know, as boys at that age, you know, the wind blows, and there you are at attention, you know? And so she just threw him down, and she got on top of him, and that was it. That was his first sexual experience, you know. He didn't tell anybody, you know. He still bears those scars to this day, you know. You can call it not rape, but that's actually what it was, you know, because he wasn't consenting just because he got an erection, you know. He's a 13-year-old boy, and, you know, if you're 13 years old, you know, like I said, you're going to stand at attention, you know, the vast majority of the day, you know. So, yeah, it can happen, and it does. And typically when it happens with women, they're doing it to underage boys. So society hasn't deemed that too awful because it happens a lot. And a lot of times when it does happen, those women, when they get caught, they don't even go to jail. So is it bad or isn't it? Because if it's bad when men do it, then it should be bad when the women do it. And if it's not bad when the women do it, then it's not bad.
And you know what, Chris, I find it weird that all these grown women, you know, the case of the hair came out, teachers had sexual relationships with their male students. Now, I find that awful weird. Here you is, you sexually turn on by this little pre-adolescent boy, but you can't get with none of these full-grown, full-capable men out here. Ain't that weird?
Yeah. Well, they can get with the men. They just don't want them because they don't, for whatever reason, they don't want to. But yeah, they can get with the men.
Well, it may go back to see what they're even alluding to here with rape or consensual rape. It puts the woman in control. So women are, you know, women may be more concerned about control than men are. because they're always worried about something going on. And we live in a society where they've been told that men are always going to control and dominate and kill you and crush you. And now you have lifetime television that always shows the guy who's going to kill you.
The man going to have control of his household, O.T., but nothing that says kill you and all this crazy stuff. You know what I mean?
That's a different topic, Kendrick. No, but we're really talking about women being raped, but it's interesting to talk about when men are raped. So when I was either 16 or 17, I read a Playboy article, and it was literally about an adult male who was raped. And he said he met these three women in a bar. They dropped something in his drink. They got him to go along with them. They took him to a hotel. They undressed him, and each woman took turns having sex with him. Well, when he climaxed, he lost his erection. And he said that one of the women took a knife and put it sharply on his balls and said, "If you don't get it up, we're going to cut off your dick." And he said, under normal circumstances, if a woman demanded he get erect, it would be impossible. He said for some reason he was able to get an erection immediately, like his life was on the line. And they continued to have sex with him. So when they were done, they got him back in the car and dropped him off on some side of the road and kept going. So I don't know. Hold on, Kendrick. I don't know if those women were ever caught into what Alex and Chris are saying. Society may say, wow, that guy was lucky. He had three women and in the bed at the same time. So was that bad? But if you flipped it and had three guys do that with a woman, we'd want to execute that guy for it. So is rape bad or is it not bad? Which one?
You know what amazes me about that whole story, Ted?
What's that?
That you actually read the articles in Playboy magazine.
I was waiting for that.
They actually had. I don't know about now, but they actually had very good articles.
That's an example of a good one. Look, man.
Yeah, the pictures were better though.
Yeah, I looked at the pictures first, and then I saw, and then I saw a man being raped. It was like, as a teenager, you're trying to figure out how can a man get raped. So I read the entire article, and it was mind-boggling, and it never left me. I remember, and especially the part where he said they put a knife to his balls and said, "Get it up, or we cut it off," and he got it up. I was like, "Wow, that was amazing from that perspective," because he said he couldn't believe that he got it up. So. But the women, it was definitely abuse. It was definitely assault.
There was an urban legend. Once you got out of boot camp, there was an urban legend. We got an indoctrination when we went to across the street from boot camp, which is called Naval Training Center. And they were telling us to be careful about picking women in Chicago, south side of Chicago, when we were to go out on Liberty, because there was a story, and like I said, it's purely an urban legend. None of us could actually verify it or anything, but we think it was just, the boogeyman story. It was a story, they told us a story about a guy who went out one weekend, he met two girls at a club, and, they get back to the hotel room, and they wanted to have sex with him, but they wanted to tie him up first, and he was like, he was down with it, okay? So he tied him up, and he had sex with the first one, and after he had sex with the first one, because he's drunk and he spent everything, that first shot, the second one, he was having trouble getting an erection for, so they shoved a pencil down his dick, and that's how the second one was able to have sex with him, because she shoved a pencil down his dick, then climbed on top of him, and had sex with him. And then after she shoved a pencil down his dick and had sex with him, they just left him there, tied to the hotel bed, like that, and the maid had to come in and find him the next day and, get him to the hospital and everything. Like I said, there's no proof of this. It's just, one of those urban legends they told us, when we were at the Naval Training Center,
Right. Now, so here's the, you know, you guys are saying, is sex bad, right? So, you know, you hear a lot of people, especially women, talk about Latin America, and I can tell you, rape happens there. It's the same act, whether it's, it's the same act. Rape, molestation, younger ages, even adult women getting raped. And what's amazing is that the same act, just across some imaginary borders, those women don't turn out traumatized the way they are here in the U.S. It's amazing. Like, they've been raped, they've been molested, and they don't have these negative hang-ups about sex and about men. And not saying none of them will, you know, some of them may not trust men. Some of them may become lesbians. But the majority of the women who experience rape or molestation, even attempted rape, they are healthy sexually, and they have healthy relationships with men, and they have no problems playing a role in a relationship with a man. So is sex as bad as is rape as bad as we're saying it? So it's okay to rape a man, okay to rape a boy, but in the U.S., however, if you have sex with a woman, she's destroyed for the rest of her life. Yet you go across the border into Mexico and further down into Latin America, somehow those women come out healthier, and they don't spend all these hours with a psychotherapist. They somehow are healthier. So, you know, what's the deal? And here in the U.S., one thing you don't hear about much, and this is related directly to the topic, there are women who actually come by their rapist. In the middle of sex, they come. So now what they try to say is, well, that's just like a normal bodily reaction. Just because she's wet doesn't mean that she wants sex. And just because she came doesn't mean she enjoyed it. So, you know, if we take it back to the topic, do most women have a rape fantasy? You would have to wonder, are they sitting down with those women who were raped and they came? Did those women have a rape fantasy? And because it came true, they were turned on and aroused by it.
I'll tell you another thing. In some of those instances, you and Chris both can elaborate. Some of them, I heard stories about the one that did came and enjoyed it. Them, those females them fell in love with their captures.
I don't know. There's a movie called 365 Days that I'm about 1 hour through. It's almost a 2-hour movie, and it's about a guy who kidnaps a woman. And part of the reason I'm doing this is because in real life recently, some guy kidnapped a woman and told her she had 3 months to fall in love with her, but he abused her. The movie, on the other hand, the guy so far in the hour I've watched it, he's not physically abusing her. He told her she has 1 year to fall in love, and so they haven't.
I don't know about falling in love necessarily, but I have to say that there may be some element to it, because if you think about it, it's an event that they can never put past them or get over, and it's trauma inducing. So part of it is because it's a trauma induced experience, but I think also that that whole experience does trigger a dopamine level in their brains that they, like a crackhead, they're always trying to find that again. You know what I mean?
Wait. So is it really as traumatic as we've been led to believe? Because how can these women in Latin America do the same thing and not be traumatized? Like, how is that possible?
Right. Is it food?
Like, what is? So when I hear people say, oh, women have been traumatized in the U.S. and that's why they're angry, it's like, well, why is it when I lived in Latin America, I didn't find that?
Well, it's just like doing drugs. I mean, people who shoot heroin, they're introducing trauma to their bodies, but they still like doing heroin because they like the dopamine rush they get from doing heroin. But it's still, you know, they're still harming themselves. You know what I mean? So I think it's possible for both to happen.
This is just my opinion.
I have no evidence of anything.
But no, see, Chris, I'm asking a different question. Why is it trauma in the United States and not trauma in Latin America? Like, does rape have intelligence of its own and it's only traumatic in the US? And then you go to another country and all of a sudden they're not experiencing, they are not being like rape victims, rape survivors. It happens and they still have healthy sex relationships and healthy relationships with men. How is that possible?
I think in the U.S. you have a much more egalitarian culture, whereas down there it's much more patriarchal and known that it's much more expected for men to dominate the women, whereas here, you know, we keep telling women that women are equal to men, so I think that may be the difference.
So you see what I'm saying when I talk about the essence of conflict resolution is dealing with the conflict within yourself. So if we take what you said, if women in Latin America honor their men as being more dominant and they expect that, and here they're trying to establish some equality, it's trauma, except what we find is nature wins because these women end up with rape fantasies.
Yeah, nature's always going to win.
They still want it. No, regardless of what, you know, feminists try to say, you have to be equal to men. In the end, 62% of women have rape fantasies. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, I agree. Egalitarianism does not work. We are a sexually dimorphic species. The men are going to be more dominant than the women. And the women, it's deep down inside, they know it.
So, cowboy monk, anyone ever hear of the movie Antoine Fisher? I never heard of that. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
You did. What's it? Can you tell me in like 60 seconds what it's about?
Young boy who was adopted by a foster mother, and he was abused by her, basically. Then he grows up, he goes back home and lets her know that, you know, hey, you couldn't break me, basically.
She had sex with him, or?
It's been a while since I've seen the movie, so I can't remember. I do know that she used to, you know, tie him up and beat him.
Okay. Well, listen, a couple of years ago, I had an actual show of a guy called into the show who was living in some institution for sexual offenders, and he's in there indefinitely. And his grandmother died when he was 13, and the 25-year-old woman next door said, well, I'll be his foster mother, I'll take care of him. And she did, and she had started having sex with him when he was 13, and it screwed him up, and so he ended up becoming a sex offender himself. And he's 40, well, at least when I did the show he was 40. And I asked him, would you ever want your son at 13 to have sex with a 25-year-old woman? He said, hell no, because he said, back then I bragged about it, but now I can see the damage that it's done, and look at where I am now. So that's a true story, and I doubt very likely that guy was lying. So.
No, I believe it's very plausible. As a matter of fact, the guy I was speaking about earlier who had the 60-year-old woman take advantage of him when he was in his early teens, he has all kinds of issues regarding sex nowadays. I mean, he's in his 40s now, you know, and he still has issues with sex. He, you know, do a lot of things that you and I would consider weird, you know.
Right.
I don't want to put too much out there, but yeah, he has he definitely has issues regarding.
Yep. So. But still, you know, you've got to ask, why is this not happening in Latin America? You know, it's really a question. Are we less resilient? And I do get, you know, there's some validity what you said, that women, they embrace male dominance. And here women are in conflict. They want to embrace it, but they've been told how bad and how weak they are for embracing male dominance. So I'm going to get this other guy here. Now, he's going to give a different perspective than what those two psychologists do. Somewhat different, but his is going to be interesting, and it opens up or expands what we've been talking about.
Right. In fact, there are common fantasy archetypes that women have. Then rape fantasy is one of those. And this is corroborated by a study done by a woman named Nancy Friday and published in her book, My Secret Garden, which is a book on the common types of female sexual fantasies. So women who have this type of fantasy are actually not that deviant at all. It's actually quite normal. No, it does not mean that they are sick in the head. In fact, there's actually a great amount of psychology to it and a lot of valid psychological reasons why women have this fantasy. So now let me teach you about the most interesting part of rape fantasy, which is the psychology behind it and why it is something that so many women want. There are seven basic psychological reasons why women have rape fantasy that I'm going to go over with you. I'm sure there's more, but these are the basic reasons that will help you to understand the psychology behind rape fantasy. And the first and foremost, most fundamental reason is that the woman fantasizing about being raped wants to feel so intensely desired that the man who is doing the act simply just cannot help himself and is powerless over his sexual urges towards her. He just wants her that bad and just has to have her. You know, it just makes the woman feel more intensely desired than anything else. And this is very common for women, even women who don't have rape fantasy. This is why a lot of women enjoy being dominated and treated rough by dominant like me, right? And also why a lot of first sexual encounters that are had in these trashy romance novels are actually sex acts that do border on rape or are actual rape in technical terms, where the man is just lusting after the woman so much that he's just being extremely aggressive, basically forcing himself on her. It's actually something that's very common for women to want because it's so validating to them and makes them feel so attractive. Now, the second psychological reason, which is also very common, is that these women want to feel taken by a man and dominated by him, especially if their role in the world is one that is more dominant, you know, and if they're a high-status woman, this is especially common for them. It's no secret that a lot of women like being dominated, as I've just said, and a lot of women want to feel taken by their man. In fact, this is what marriage, which is a very patriarchal tradition, actually is about, is a woman feeling owned by a man. And it's not uncommon for women to say things such as, take me. That's a very sexy feeling for a woman for similar reasons to the first one of that. It just shows that she is so intensely desired, right? And it is a very sexy thing for a woman to feel taken. You know, I will always remember the first time a girl told me that she wanted me to take her. And it was just such a sexy thought, which is also very intimate. Wanting to take someone and just, like, own them is a very, very intimate experience as well as being a sexual one. Next, number three is that when a woman is high status, she oftentimes doesn't enjoy a lot of the feelings that go along with being high status and being supplicated to by everyone. And what she really wants is to be taken down a few notches. And so what a lot of strong, powerful women in modern society really want is to be taken down a few notches and humbled, especially by their intimate partners. I mean, women who have a lot of power over people, namely men, in their business life want to feel like their partners have all the power over them. They don't want to feel that same as they do in their career, being one who has power over people and having people supplicate to them in their intimate relationship. You know, they want their intimate relationship and the role they play in that to be the opposite of and a respite from the role they play in the business world.
So this is a big part of what I'm getting at, is that, like you were saying, egalitarian, right, that women who believe they have power in the workforce, that is not – women are not looking to have that. Women do not always want the responsibility that comes with power. And men need to be honest about this, because if they did, they wouldn't be begging men for jobs. They would be starting their own General Motors and showing how tough and bad they are, and they'd be competing in the global market, but they're not. So a rape fantasy really does allow a woman to, like, unload the responsibility to a man. You guys may have heard me talk about this once, but I met a guy years ago in a jazz club. We're sitting at a bar, and he, a clean-cut looking guy, told me he was hanging out with pimps and prostitutes certain days because he was doing research. He wanted to understand that world. And he said he interviewed enough prostitutes and asked to find a common ground. And the common ground they all had is they didn't want any responsibility. They they were fine just having sex and giving the money to the pimp, and the only thing responsible they were responsible for was going shopping. So at this movie I'm watching, 365 Days, that's kind of what you're seeing in this movie. And if a woman is raped, she doesn't have to be responsible even for the sex act. You know, it's like the article I was reading. You know, he forced me, he made me do it. Women would say the same thing. If you let them drink alcohol and have sex, they'll say, oh, I don't normally act like this. It was the alcohol. But we are forcing women to go against their own nature and forcing them to take on responsibilities that they really don't always want. And we're starting to hear it when these women find out, you know, they've worked in 10 years and have to work 10, 12 hours a day, and men have no problem doing that. So a way to relieve all that stress and pressure and responsibility is to just let a man fully take over and force her into sex, force her into submission, which is what she really wants anyway. But except the conflict is telling her if she does that, she's bad, wrong, weak, stupid. You should never let a man do that. They're going to control and dominate you. So we put women in so much conflict, and this whole rape fantasy is really sort of shining light on what women actually want from men. And the problem is a lot of men have become feminists, so they've bought into this egalitarianism, and all it's doing is making women more frustrated, and they can't even tell you this is what they want because they get condemned for it.
Yeah, because it's unhealthy to you, and it's the power that be's fault for putting all these women in the workplace in the first place, and trying to make them more masculine than feminine. They're going against their natural order.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That part of it. That's not what you're talking about, though, Kendrick. But what he's talking about is actually not unhealthy for women to want to be dominated. You know, it's like I said,
no,
that's just their instinct.
He's saying it's unhealthy to have them in a workplace. I think, is that what you were saying?
Oh
yeah. And I'm agreeing with you, Chris. I agree with you. It is healthy for them to be dominated.
Egalitarianism. It just does not work. It doesn't work when you have, you know, clearly you can't put a 6'2", you know, 250-pound next to a 5'2", 120-pound woman and tell her that they're equal and then try to treat them as such, because one is going to be able to prove, particularly when that one that's 6'2", you know, when he's also – he can also prove that his IQ level is higher. So on no playing field is the one that's 5'2", is she equal to the man, you know? We can prove that he's bigger, stronger, faster, and smarter, but we have to create – if you have to create rules in society to bring the superior one down to the inferior one to make them have an even playing field, that's not equality. That's why egalitarianism doesn't work.
Right, well, trying to put him under control, put him on the subjection. That's what you're trying to do. But she now is supposed to be up over that man, and that's exactly what Chris just did.
Well, and women. So the point is that isn't what women really desire. That's why they end up having rape fantasies, because they really don't want to dominate men. That isn't what they want. So nature wins. Nature wins. So they end up wanting to be dominated by a man in the end.
So give them what they want. Give them what they're asking for, Ted.
This is why I'm doing a show, so that you could see that it's not unhealthy for a woman to think this way. She's just assuming her natural biological role of what she truly desires. She's in conflict. Society told her she shouldn't want that. Is that Reggie?
Yeah, that's me. What's up, dog?
Oh, it's Reggie? Okay, yeah. What's up, Reg?
Yeah, what's up? What's up, fellas? Hey, interesting. You know, that domination stuff sounds you know, that's Mother Nature, and we're talking about is that really safe in modern times? So now we got a conflict going on. So, you know, what are you going? You want to? You willing to put it all on the line for fantasy to bust a nut to feel validated, your female validation, to give her her fantasy? Then when things don't go her way or whatever, I'm just saying you're leaving yourself liable. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. I mean, it's all for, you know, they screw with Mother Nature. They smear with men and female biology, I guess I even want to say it. But again, what are you going to do? I'm not willing to put my life on the line just to bust a nut with a broad.
Right. That's what I've been saying.
You know what I mean?
I know 35 years away.
Yeah, I heard you when you first started talking, country boy. What's going on, player?
It's all
well,
good.
Yeah. This is not about putting your life on the line. It's about understanding.
Yeah, you.
This is about understanding the reality of what they actually want. And as long as men are afraid to be men, women are going to resent you for not giving them what they want.
Men don't have a problem being men, but ain't no man going to be able to outman the system. Okay, it's still about
this is all about how you interact with a woman personally, one on one.
I don't know where you're going with it, Ted. I don't agree. Anytime you go in there, you dominate. Wait a minute, Ted. Let me talk, okay? I've been through some things that you haven't been through. I've been in a strip with a white bra asking me to choke her ass, and while I'm choking this bitch is fucking flowing. But so now, I mean, I'm serious. The bitch was turning to purple, and she was just asking for more and more and more. And I'm looking at this. I'm looking like, what the fuck? I mean, I was having a good time, but still, yet. So now she marked up. That's supposed she'd have got what she wanted. She'd have been dominated. She feel good. But now she's like, you know what? I'm going to get this thing. I'm all marked up. I'm going to call and say, this guy raped me and he choked me. So you're still living yourself where she had power and control to turn your whole life upside down. So she got what she wanted. She got off, got her fantasy, whatever. But now.
That's what I've been saying.
So that's what I'm saying, Ted. I don't know why you ain't getting this. Very simple. I mean, is your mind so complex that you can't handle this simple dialogue? You're leaving yourself vulnerable when you do this. Maybe not in Mexico or Latin America, but over here in US of A, London, England, the Northern Hemisphere, Australia, you're leaving yourself open to a potential having your life turned the fuck upside down and losing everything.
I've been saying.
Okay, I'm done.
I'm going to make it simpler than that, and this is what I've been saying for a long time. What I'm talking about has nothing to do with sex. See, if you don't establish this, this is what women want, period, across the board. And I have left women marked. I've held their wrists so tight that they were darker than you, and they literally have bruises 360 degrees around the wrist, both wrists.
Was this 20 years ago or 30 years ago when the system and the law wasn't designed that they are now? When was it?
You're being emotional. Stop. Chill.
No, I'm not being emotional. I'm being real. I'm asking you a direct question. I'm not being an emotional bitch. I'm asking you a direct question. When was this?
I'm not going to answer till I finish what I'm
saying.
Okay, then. So if men don't know how to take a stand with women, that you're always going to be walking on eggshells. Women have men walking on eggshells. And that is not what they want. This is way beyond just sex. This is period. This is women do not want equality with men. That's why they go as far as wanting to be dominated sexually, because they don't want to be dominating men. And as long as men keep making excuses about the system, then you'll continue to be dominated by women and you'll continue to walk on eggshells for them. This is what men, this is the message. This is the psychology of what's happening in women. It's they don't want to be in a position to make men submit. And so when you put women in positions that go against their nature, the reality of their desires comes out in other ways. This is well.
Okay, but Ted, who put them in that position, Ted?
Hold on. I want to say this. You're both right. So Ted, I agree with you. Women are pissed off because they've been screaming they want equality when, you know, they don't want it, and they think we should know that they don't want it, so we shouldn't give them to them. We shouldn't
Correct.
Give in. We
Correct.
Should still dominate them.
Correct.
Right? I understand that, and I agree with you on that. But what Reggie is saying is there's a system set up in place where if you don't give them the thing that they don't want but they keep asking for, there's a possibility that you could be the one to suffer the consequences from it, even though they don't want it.
No, it's
insane. I understand it's insane.
You're talking about sex. I'm talking about just life one-on-one.
Right. Hold on, Kendrick. When it comes to sex, what Reggie is saying is although they're saying they don't want to be dominated, but we know they do, if you do dominate it, just like this story you mentioned about the woman who had the rape fantasies that she was scared her husband was going to find out about her sexual endeavors, how she killed the guy. Well,
Correct.
That's the consequence that guy suffered,
exactly.
Even though he was participating in something that was consensual. I think that's what Reggie's trying to convey.
I understand, but as long as men keep thinking that you can't do anything, women are going to have you on all fours, and you're going to be taking it with a strap.
No,
on.
You can do something. You can avoid them and not end up dead like that guy went to. That guy who participated in that woman's rape fantasy.
Thank you. You can avoid their asses because the potential for disaster ain't worth all of that. Your potential. You done worked your equipment. You done worked all your life to build your whatever it up, build your career up, build whatever. Just like some of these actors and whatever and shit. And all somebody has to do is go in there and make an accusation. Hell, you could have been. Like I said, it don't have to be a sexual thing. She could have came over. And you could have said, hey, she might have wanted you to hit it. He's like, no, I don't want it. You got to go. He said, what? You're rejecting me? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm running this up in here. I'll fuck you when I'm ready. Okay? You got to go. Come back. Maybe come back tomorrow, and I might hit it. So she leaves. She pissed off. She said, did you sexually assault her while you was here? What you going
right.
to do?
Right. And I heard those shows, Reed.
So here's the deal. Men are starting to think like women. That's exactly how women think. No, women think of all the scenarios that could go wrong. I'm not saying you be stupid. So the first thing is you don't choose bottom of the barrel girls. You don't choose them, right? You leave them alone. Men are actually being, this is the way a woman's brain works. She finds a million and one scenarios to not do something. That's why women don't take risks. That's why they don't create industries. That's why they don't create Fortune 500 companies. Their brains don't allow for it.
But
men are
doing a whole bunch of complaining.
Hold on, Kendra. Men are starting to think like women now, and women resent that. They resent it.
I'm sorry.
So let them resent it.
They the one who made their bed. They got to lay in it because they got a hand in this shit. All of these laws and stuff. They're like, hey, they didn't go in and say, hey, child support is wrong, alienating the father is wrong. Do all of these stuff. This shit. No, we're not equal to men. Men have built it. Like you keep because you said every podcast, which is a fucking fact. Men have built every fucking thing on this earth that fucking matters. Okay? Even us, we all come from the nutsack. They still trying to take that away from you. So, again, it is what it is. You're not, you're being redundant with this, but I'm just saying that again, if she doesn't get what she wants, She can turn your life upside down. She knows this. And you being aware of this, you being aware of this might make Leary about you letting her into your house. You don't know who this. She's talking about bottom of the barrel. You don't know what's going on in that woman's mind. You don't know what's behind them ears. What's behind the eyes and what's going on in her head. You don't know this.
Listen, men do not establish dominance with women because they're worried about things. I'm not even talking about sex. And there's where the problem starts. That's why she ends up with a rape fantasy, because she's not getting the masculinity that she needs from a man, because he's walking on eggshells. He's worried about
it. So she's getting masculinity from these criminals and these repeat offenders.
No, she wants masculinity, period. And she may end up going to a thug, but that's not that. Listen, there are too many women who don't play with that in that circle. There are just way too many. There are millions of women who don't play in that circle. And there are millions of women who will honor masculinity and work with their guy. But guys have been told to be afraid and to run. So if you run, then she's like, you're a little bitch. I call some women a lumberjack. And when I call them a lumberjack, what I'm saying is this woman meets a man and she picks up her axe and the man sees the axe and he runs. And then she meets
It's not the
guy.
Woman that we're running from. It's not
Hold on. She meets another guy and she whacks him with the axe. And he's still standing, so she whacks him again and again, and he falls, and she says, I knew it. And then she meets another guy, and she has to whack him more times and eventually falls, because that is what she expects from a man, is that they're all going to fall when the pressure comes on. So what she's really looking for is the guy she can whack, and this is what Reggie's saying. It's crazy, but all you guys are saying is they're crazy. This is a crazy method, which is, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, when women are arguing with you on social media, she may really just want you to lay the pipe. But this is it's a convoluted way for a woman to get attention from a man, but what she's looking for is a guy she can lean on and not fall. And if you understand that and you play that dominant role and she has a problem with it, you tell her to get lost. You just tell her to go.
I agree.
And men are not doing this. This is.
And when you tell her, to get lost, she go make a phone call and say you did this when you really didn't do it.
Hold on, Reggie. I'm just about to get to that point. Hold on, Reggie. So that's what I was about to get to, the X factor. So earlier, Alex was talking about, you and Alex were talking about the damsel in distress. Well, we all know that there's a sect of guys, which is there's a lot of them now. We call them simps. You call them whatever they want, but they are. They have this notion of the damsel in distress, and if they just rescue this fair maiden, they'll get the sex because they couldn't get the sex on their own. They couldn't get these women on their own. You know, she wasn't picking them. So they figured, if I just rescue the fair maiden, I'll get the sex or whatever. So you're not running from the woman. You're just running from these lunatics who have these preconceived notion in their head that these women who want to be not dominated need protection from you. These women want your dominance, sure, but these lunatics, these fucking simps, they have it in their mind that these women are being victimized, that these women are being abused, and that these women need protection from you. So what you're running from is the system that they've set up to punish you from giving women what they actually want. You're not running from the woman. No, you're running from the simps.
Exactly, Chris. And that's what the media is portraying. What they're portraying.
You guys are telling me that I'm the only exception to the rule.
Thank you, Christopher.
So you guys are telling me I'm the exception to the rule. Then
you're not an exception to the rule, though. You're not an exception to the rule. And I can tell you how you're not an exception to the rule. Remember a couple weeks ago when you had the woman on your show that you said used to live with you, and you told her she's going to abide by your rules or put out whatever, or you're going to put her out, and eventually, you broke up with her, you put her out, and how she said she wished she'd never Well, if you were truly exercising your power over a woman, you would have never thrown her out. You would have forced her to abide by your rules.
No, no. I had to get rid of her. I couldn't marry into
her family. Why? You should have been able to exercise your power over a woman.
Because in Latin America, you marry a family, and I had no interest in marrying into a family.
That's another subject, but do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the point I'm trying to make?
Right. I get what you're saying, and what I'm saying is, what I said to Reggie, you say you abide by my rules or you put them out. So and what didn't happen is the system came after me. That's what I'm saying. I'm the exception to that rule. I'm not worried about
it. But Ted, again, when was that?
Well, hold on. You weren't, because she didn't put up that bat signal for them simps to come. But should she put up that bat signal for the simps to come?
No, Reggie,
you live.
Reggie,
let me get, make
Reggie.
No mistake about it. You live in a very matriarchal society up in New York and New Jersey. There are men in New York and New Jersey that have had domestic violence charges put on them for simply yelling at a woman. Should that woman have called the police on you for whatever reason? She didn't. Thank God she didn't. I'm not wishing on you.
Chris,
she can't call the police on you.
No, she could have
had a domestic violence charge pressed against
her. Chris, I told her to get out, and she called the police, and the police arrived, and they escorted her out. This is what I'm saying. I must be some exception to the rule. Because
I remember, who was the guy that used to come on the show? I can't think of his name now. Crap, he was a former cop. And he got arrested for simply yelling at his baby mother. He was over in New York City.
Ted, again, when was this, Ted? 20 years ago, when she didn't have the she didn't possess the power that women now garner
accusation. Time is relevant.
I can ask him a basic question. When was this? Because she didn't have the power and authority, or not the power then, that if that situation had happened now, she might have been able to pull that on you, Ted. That's why I kept asking
the
basic question.
Would not.
When was it?
Nothing. She would have had zero power over me. Zero.
Okay.
And over the past 10 years, I have asserted my dominance with women in very different ways, even from get the fuck out. Like the way I do things, get the fuck out. And I said that, get the fuck out if you don't like it. And what the woman said is, you can't make me leave. I don't want to leave. I want to stay. And that is in the past 3 years, the past 5 years, the past 3 to 5 years, Reggie, I assert dominance. And if they don't like it, they can leave. I don't
I
play
need to see these
way.
Women. You asserting dominance with T. I need to meet some of these women.
No, see, it's not about the woman. It's about what I present.
No. And I'm not saying it can't be done. Because like I said, deep down, women want to be dominated. But what I'm saying is they always have the ability to throw up that bat signal, call in the simps, and they're like the Army Brigade. And once they come in, you are subject to whatever they want to do. And it's more you than it is of them. And these are guys that are jealous, number one, because you're getting the sex they can't get. So
right.
Look,
that's exactly
look,
what I'm
I,
saying,
I,
Chris.
I do not live my life based on what – so I am not water, and my life is not shaped by some other person. This is my life.
I understand.
If I invite a woman into my life, it's my invitation she's got to deal with. And if she doesn't want to, that's it. See, this is – men are not taking a stand. And what women, this whole rape fantasy, is they're looking for that. They're begging for it. But it's taboo to say I want to be raped. And if they tell you, well, the real reason I want to be raped is I just want masculine dominance. It's what I want.
But I guarantee you, if you let all those dudes at the pen and let them have them women, I guarantee you, they'll be coming out and putting me in.
I've dealt with too many women who don't go down that path, Kendrick. 2 minutes.
But I'm the main dude putting out that kind of masculinity, though,
Jimmy. No, it's just those men,
they won't call the cops on those men because, number one, those men are accustomed to dealing with the cops, and those men don't really have anything to lose, so they don't give a fuck about going back to – they're about that life. They don't give a fuck about going back to jail.
I believe you, Chris.
Hey, Christopher, you hit that McCall run. That's what my whole thing is. That's why they get with them busters. They don't have nothing to lose. So, guys, they still go back to them guys. They haven't worked. They haven't sacrificed. They don't have anything to lose. They don't have any, people that depend on them or legacy to leave something behind, all over this shit. So they can come in, they can raw dog the chick, feel like the tramp that she wants to be, and then if they go down, they don't have nothing to lose. They're going back home. They're going back to the pen. That's why they wanted to go in the first place.
There are clean cut men who have served in the military and they've been married for decades, and they assert their dominance at home, and they haven't been to jail. They're not going to jail. They assert their dominance, and the woman conforms to that. There are plenty of men in the military who do that.
Let me tell you something. I've been in the military. I've been around those dudes who've been married for decades. They're not asserting any dominance, let me tell you. Because the military is set up for them. You're not going to get away with that with me. Nope, you're not going to get away with that with me because I actually serve.
I've met them, Chris.
I've served. And let me tell you, the military isn't set up for them to be dominant over their women. They can get thrown in a brig. I've seen a guy lose his security clearance and get thrown in jail for yelling at his wife, for doing something as simple as yelling at his wife.
Listen, this is why I tell them they need to learn about conflict resolution, man, because if you know how to assert your masculinity, you don't need to use violence.
Yelling is not violent. Yelling is not being violent. Raising your voice is asserting your masculinity.
Okay. So that's
the initial escalation of force, raising your voice.
Those are the men who have failed at manhood, because the men who have not failed at manhood are not dealing with that, and I've met too many of them.
Like I said, I disagree with you because
What women are asking for is what men are not giving them. So now it comes out crazy, and it sounds crazy. They want to be raped, but they're asking for something, and they're resenting men for not giving them what they want. It's not rape, and some of them don't want to be raped.
That part, I will agree with you that women do resent men for not giving them what they want, but it's the whole game of I'm going to ask for something, I don't really want it. But if you give it to me, I'm going to be pissed off at you about it. That's the game they play. And then, like I said, you have this sect of men who think that they truly do want what they're asking for, even though the rest of us know they don't really want what they're asking for. We know it's just something they just want. Ultimately, women want to be told no, because telling a woman no is the best way to show dominance over her. If you ever want to piss a woman off or make a woman even want you more, just ignore her. Ignore. Tell her no. That's how you get their attention. That's how you keep them wanting you. You telling her yes or giving her what she wants, she's just going to resent you for it.
One thing that women expect from men is a certain level of discipline. They look for a certain level of guidance, even though they've been told if you take a man's guidance, he's controlling you. That is really what they're looking for.
Let me ask you a question. It's just one question.
I'm not going to answer until I finish saying what I'm saying. So until men understand a way to powerfully and effectively dominate and deal with a woman without going off the handle, this is why I keep saying conflict resolution. If men keep avoiding that, this is why I talk about mastery of self. Male mastery. If that's not addressed, then men won't know how to deal with it, and yes, the police will come. But this, if you have no kind of mastery over your own masculinity, if you don't even know how to govern yourself, then yes, someone else is going to. Go ahead, Reggie.
Did you agree with what Chris just said?
You have to tell me specifically what you're asking me.
Never mind, Dave. Move on. Never mind.
Yeah, we, the mastery, I give about what all three of you brothers saying. But we need, for what I'm saying, though, Ted, we need to try to get to this solution without it having to exert, what you call it, that physical self-dominance over her to where she got to get somewhere and be still and be quiet. In
yeah,
other words, the cops will show up at the door. You see what I'm saying? It shouldn't even have to, it shouldn't have to get to that point. That's what I'm saying.
If you don't know how to handle yourself, then people will know it, and they will bring someone else in to handle you.
Oh, they can come all they want, but just know I'm ready for it.
Just if you don't know how to handle yourself, I don't care who the person is, we'll bring someone else in to handle you.
All I'm saying is if a man understands the game is being played, or if he understands how everything works, and he's simply saying he's not, it's not worth the risk for him to risk his livelihood or his assets to play this foolish game and potentially lose his life or lose everything that he's worked for. If he doesn't want to play that game, I understand. I'm not going to fault him. I'm not going to call him a weak man because he's choosing not to take the chance. We don't call anyone who doesn't go to Hollywood, and I'm not Hollywood, anyone who doesn't go to Vegas, we don't call them weak because they're not willing to go to Vegas and risk their life savings gambling. No, we have to come to a smart move.
Ted, do you agree with what Chris just said?
That we don't call people weak for gambling their life savings?
The whole scenario, the whole thing he put together for you, you don't agree with that at all. You don't see why a guy would be that way. And you call that weak. You call that weak for a guy to be aware of his surroundings, the potential for disaster. You call that weak? Chris just explained it to you. This. Are you listening, or you just want to talk to him?
So if a guy gambles away his whole savings in Las Vegas, he is weak, and he deserves to lose it.
He has no self-mastery. Some of these women.
He has no self-mastery.
Okay. Well, he has no self-mastery. Okay.
Okay.
Listen. I don't know where you went with that. I kind of got lost on it because you went to the gambling part. I don't know if you really understood exactly what he was saying, but I know what he was saying. I want to know, do you agree with what he was saying? And you saying you don't know what he's saying. Are you listening to what other people are saying to you?
I agree with him, Reed. A man that got much to lose, he ain't going to play that game.
No, you get it, but I'm asking Ted, are you listening to what some other guys are still saying to you?
Until men stand up, women.
Okay, again, you didn't. Okay, here we go again. That's it. Never mind. There we go.
So I want to see what else this guy has to say.
Okay, you know, having all of that power is just such a burden. You know, it's so stressful. And also having people suffocate to you can be great in the business world, at least to an extent, but it makes these people not relatable when they put you up on a pedestal.
See, women don't want to be put on a pedestal by men. They don't have power. But they have an illusion of having it, and men, too many men are bowing to that. The men who bow to vagina are powerless. And women know that, and they exploit you, and they don't respect you. That's why I've never heard so many men asking for respect from women. Never heard that. That was the 90s women started saying they want to be respected. And those women were disrespectful. That's why they were asking for it. Now men are asking for it.
I don't ask for respect for a woman.
Not the man.
This is why I say game is for girls, power is for men. and women will respect power. You don't even need to ask for it. It's not even a conversation. Asking for respect from a woman is like asking her to have a vagina. I'm not even going to have that conversation.
It ain't up to no negotiation with me. They going to do what I say do. It's going to be consequence.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that, Kendrick. I'm saying that you have to know how to communicate with people. And you have to know.
Oh, that's true.
You have to know how to assert yourself so that you get the outcome. And a lot of times women are not looking at the long-term big picture and what's in the best interest of everyone. She's thinking of what she can, how it might look to her friends or family. I've heard too many women say to me, I can't believe you have me in this situation. I can't even tell anyone that I'm in this situation. So women are worried about what someone else is thinking because society goes against it, except it's what they really want. If there's a level of safety and comfort in a man playing a dominant role, guiding and looking out for what's in the best interest of all, the big picture. As a man, you need to be able to express that to a woman so she gets it. And then you need to demonstrate behavior that reflects those words. But if your words and your actions are different, then society has told her and has given her a system where she can come after you. And if men need to understand that. I don't care if there's only 10% of men, but when feminism was being pushed from the late 60s, that wasn't even 1% of females pushing it, less than 1%. And look what the hell they did. So you can't tell me that 1% of men can't turn this around. Like, I have a difficult time. We got here by less than 1% of men. And they could have used the same excuse. Well, the system won't let us. Women respect balls.
Yeah, but I guarantee you they're scared of these elites that running everything. I bet you they.
Hold on.
They fear them with respect.
Okay, hold on, Kendrick. Yeah, hold on.
To talk to or any superiors to talk to who can be influential to you in the way that you want. And so that's what these women want in their relationships. They don't want someone who puts them on a pedestal. They want someone to take them off of the pedestal. They want someone they feel is a very powerful person, even more powerful than them. They want to feel that power as fully and intensely as possible, which is, of course, most ultimately done in rape fantasies. Next, the fourth psychological reason is that they want to be put deep into what is called in the BDSM world subspace, or the mental space of submission, in this sort of mental state that women are put into when they are treated with extreme dominance and put deeply into that submissive role. And the subspace is almost like a trance-like state or a meditative state that is, in fact, very drug-like, because what causes it, like all peak experiences that you can have in sex, is an extreme endorphin rush. So a lot of these women are seeking, and all women really, who seek out these extreme experiences of being dominated by men and a lot of other peak experiences in sex is really the endorphin rush that it causes in their mind and the drug-like feeling that those endorphins have, but they are actually very molecularly similar to other drugs. Like morphine, for instance, is very molecularly similar to beta endorphin.
This is what I'm getting at. Women are looking for this from men, and they're being denied it. They're being denied their this endorphin rush that they're not getting from men, and they want it. So like a child who will act out because you're not giving them discipline, it's all they're doing.
Well, they're not getting it because men have been handcuffed.
You know, Reggie, I watched this movie from 1966. I forget the name of it, but it was very interesting because it's a mad, mad, mad world. I was watching that movie. And it was interesting that this scene happened in 1966. I was really surprised. And it was a British guy and a dude in the U.S. driving. And the British guy said, you guys, imagine 1966. He said, you guys in the U.S. are so, he said something like, you're so henpecked by your women and so dominant, you've lost your balls. I mean, he just went down a line like it was amazing. You can find a movie on YouTube. It starts at 1 hour 19, around 1 hour 19 minutes.
I've seen them. I've seen the movie. Okay, here. Again,
Reggie, let him finish.
Stop it. God, man, what are you doing? I don't interrupt you, Reggie. The point is in 1966, they were already saying this about men. Like, this was a perspective, even though it's a movie, but someone saw that it was happening already. So look how far we've gone from there. So this is not because women rose up and pushed men over. It's because men laid down. This is the problem, and they resent that. This is the point I'm getting at. So whether a real British dude said that, the fact that someone made a real point of it in the movie was kind of a wake-up call, and apparently men didn't listen. So here we are, and I'm given the same message, and still I'm being told about the system.
This system been in play for quite a while, Terry. But I mean, I agree with it. Over here, yeah, men have been soft, but this has been in the work. Hey, it became fucked up when they gave them the right to vote. Okay, you don't give them nothing. Wait a minute, hold on. You say hold on? They haven't fought one motherfucking war. They didn't register for that. They haven't earned nothing. Hold up. So you just gave it to them. They gave it to him. So, again, we're still going back, but we still, now, in modern times, the guys that didn't have nothing to do with the patriarchal trying to be or destroyed, it was other means, but we're not caught up in this fishbowl with our hands kind of tied behind them or handcuffed or, you know, I mean, just like you said earlier, I mean, hell, you could tell a woman hello, and she gets caught up and say you were trying to make sexual advances to her. You made her feel uncomfortable. I mean, all kinds of shit can go on now. So again, you going back to this movie still don't have nothing to do with the fact that we are caught up in this situation. Women can be women brought their own fucking misery upon their own damn selves. Okay. I'm not going to fault no guy for protecting his best interests. I'm not going to tell him he's a bitch for not. This bitch bent over, told you to come fuck her, and since you didn't go fuck that bitch, your ass is fucking weak. I'm not going to tell him that. I'm saying, you know, he's a smart dude. You got too much to lose.
So what do I need to do? Bring some dudes who were born here in the U.S., and they're of Middle Eastern descent. I need to bring them on the show and have a conversation and ask them what they do.
We've covered this already. They live in a completely different society where there's nobody who made rules for them where they will be punished for doing that.
They still live in the U.S.
I understand, but even in the U.S., they've paid. You always say that the U.S. is a republic. Well, they've paid money to the U.S. government for them to be able to instill their own values within their communities. They paid this.
Okay. So why?
So in their own communities, hold on. So in their own communities, they can do that and still get away with it because it's part of their culture. So now, if you stop them from doing it, now it's you know you're subject to. You know, sanctions from the UN potentially, it could be considered, you know, you're stopping them from practicing their religious rights, whatever you're infringing on their societal beliefs or whatever. But they have set up communities where they're able to practice their beliefs the same as they would in their homeland. But make no mistake about it, they're able to do that because they have a root system that is set in place in their homeland, which is not the U.S. We're talking about the U.S., where the Puritans came and established this system that where even though these women don't want something, if they ask for it, you have to give it to them, because if you don't, there's a group of simps who will punish you for not doing it. And if you're willing to take that chance, fine, I don't care. Do it. But don't tell me, because I'm not willing to risk my life, my liberty, or my assets, that I'm weak because I don't want to go to Vegas and gamble with you. You can go to Vegas and gamble all you want. I don't care. Don't call me weak for not getting in the car and going with you.
Then I'll accept that I'm the exception to the rule, then.
Okay, you accept. We just got to, I ain't trying to bust your balls on your own show tonight. I'm just like, what the fuck?
I'll accept it. I'll accept it. Okay. Because, I mean, these problems.
Oh, man.
I must
okay.
But back to what Chris was saying.
Ted, we all individuals here, man. Okay. None of us like, you know, the situation that we're in or what's going down or what has happened. But the reality of it is that no matter how alpha, how bad, whatever it is, potentially, she has the potential to turn your life upside down. It's up to you whether you want to roll the dice or not, or you feel that this chick is a quality woman and she won't do this, which I don't know what being a quality woman has to do with a woman snapping or, you know, getting her feelings hurt, or, you know. Yeah, so, but that's me. But I'm not going to fault any guy. If he want to go black pill, if he want to go monk, whatever he want to do, if that's what he want to do and it's working for him, I'm not going to tell him he's weak for it. I'm not going to tell him that.
But real talk.
I couldn't do it. Now, I couldn't do it. I like women. I saw some of the day at the bar I wanted to hit. But I still like, hey, is it worth it? Is it worth the effort? Or, you know, do I want to... Do I have the time and effort to put in? Because, you know, she saw me, I saw her. She didn't come fall in my damn lap. So I might have to go do some things, put some time in. You know, is it worth it? Is it worth it?
Yo, Chris, I want to backtrack real quick about what you said about those other patriarchal societies that you had just stated. Now, notice what you just said. Them men had a certain system set in place where everybody knew their role and everybody had consequences. Okay, well, just think back to Black Wall Street. Now, those men came home from World War II, and I guarantee you, them dudes had something in place for those communities to thrive up until the before the destruction of those towns. Now, look at what America look like now. In particular, the black culture. Look at where we at now.
You don't have no community.
We don't have that like we used to.
No.
And that's what
you don't have no black community. You have hoods and ghettos. No businesses. All the businesses in the hood are ran by people that don't look like you. Or if they do, they're from another patriarchal country that's over here making money and sending money back over to their people to take care of their people.
Yeah, I'm with you. But what I'm saying, for some reason, we lost it. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere along the way, we lost it.
No, we never had it. We never had it. We've never had it.
So Black Wall Street, we didn't have it.
You had that was made, but you know, it's kind of hard to say, but you know, we're kind of a individual type of race. You know, we don't build together. You know, we built alone or whatever because we just don't have that loyalty. We don't have that culture like those other countries that you talk about over there. You know, we don't. You know. For whatever reason, that's how it is. That's how it's been. And things have gotten, you know, I mean, just look at everything. Look at it. And guess what? It's not going to change. Oh, if it changes, it's only going to get worse.
But according to he's saying we can change it.
To bring it back to the topic at hand, yes, women have these fantasies. They have these fantasies, but what they also have is a group of men called simps who completely deny the fact that they have these fantasies. So when you have consensual sex or you oblige them by indulging in this fantasy with them, you have this group of men who will deny that they've ever had this fantasy, that are willing to punish you for enacting up on this fantasy with them. And what I'm saying is we know they have the fantasies. I'm not going to deny it, but they'll deny it. And they're the ones with the power, and they're the ones with the control over the laws and the punishments of society. And I'm not going to let this group of simps take my shit away or throw me in some fucking cage, because I know what the woman wanted, and I gave it to her. And them, because they couldn't get the sex from the woman, they felt that they were protecting her by punishing me for giving her what she wanted. I'm just not the best way to win a game is not play it. If you don't play it, you always win. You're always the winner.
What she wants has nothing to do with sex.
No, she wants a dominance. I get it. I get it.
Okay.
But like I said, you still have that group of men who are in denial about the fact that they want to be dominated. That's why we live in an egalitarian society.
Hey, Chris, I heard that the reason that Dr. Dre's wife started this whole divorce thing because she wanted something, and that motherfucker told her no. I'm tired of you spending up the money and whatever, this and that. And she wouldn't fight the divorce.
Yeah, you gotta come with some facts before I don't know.
Okay.
No. You're saying I heard, so I'm not even gonna go down that path.
Well, I mean, I just put that into play where he put his foot down, I'm just speculating, okay? If I can't talk the way that I want to talk, I'm not going to talk at all.
I was talking to Chris then.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to Chris.
I want this guy that I had playing to finish what he's saying, because I don't want to talk about this guy is looking at some studies on why women are behaving this way, so men can better understand. Yes, one expression is sex, but what he's getting at, this is beyond sex, what women are looking for. They don't want to be put on a pedestal. Too many men put pussy on a pedestal. Way too many. You haven't even said hello to the woman. You're already thinking it's something out there that you want to get.
It's one of the primary endorphins that causes the feeling of being high after you've had an experience of extreme pain. So these women are really seeking the experience of being put into subspace and having that endorphin rush. The fifth reason, which is common for all fantasies, is that this may have started somewhere very small, right? And it wasn't originally a full-on rape fantasy. And maybe just started with the fantasy of them being lusted after by a man or dominated by a man, and just sort of built up over time, and was something that they've always went to in their mind more and more over time, but never ever been able to act on and fulfill with someone. This is so common for many, if not most or all, fantasies that women have. Because they start small, and oftentimes when women are young, and it's something that they fantasize about consistently over time and get built up over time, but are never able to be fulfilled because they never feel comfortable communicating about it with someone. And if they do, they often get shamed for it. And then number six, they may just want to do something that is extremely kinky, taboo, and dirty. It'd be just like the most extreme and hardcore thing that they could possibly think of because of the fact that their sex life has always been incredibly safe and boring. They just sort of felt very sexually repressed and had this repression probably build up over time. So they felt like they just needed to break free of their sexual repression and just do something that is extremely kinky and taboo and dirty and possibly the most hardcore thing that they could think of. This is one that's very common, especially for women who are in their 30s and 40s, because most women are very stuck in a sexual comfort zone and have had very limited sexual experiences because they lead a very monotonous and boring sex life. And usually when they do have sex with men, the men aren't very focused on their pleasure and don't give them much sexual fulfillment, and sex often doesn't last very long. And a lot of times also between sex partners, a lot of women will go for long stretches of time being celibate because of the fact that it's hard for women to find good sexual partners. So sexual repression in women is extremely common, and as that sexual repression built up over time, it gets to a point where women just feel the need to do something very extreme. The rape fantasy is, of course, a very extreme thing to do. It is a easy choice for women who are at that point. And then the last one, number seven, which isn't actually an easy choice for these types of women to make, but is an extremely good psychological reason why women want to do a rape fantasy role play, is because they want to safely and therapeutically work through past rape trauma in a controlled situation. And this is also why many women get into BDSM, all right? Women who have sex sexual trauma from their past can find it very therapeutic to work through that trauma through role play of being dominated, even in the ways that they had been assaulted before in the past. Okay, when you have that controlled situation of a premeditated and negotiated role play, especially you know when you're using the structure that is provided in the kink and BDSM community, it is a very good therapeutic way for them to work through that trauma. And it's oftentimes successful when done properly, but when done improperly, it can just simply be re-traumatizing for them. So this is one that happens to apply to you as a woman, that's something to watch out for. However, you don't have to worry because in a little while, I'm going to teach you exactly how.
So I played this guy because, yes, they're like I said, I don't understand why in Latin America the women are not as traumatized as the women here. I mean, we can...
Because Latin America it wasn't founded by Puritans.
Right. Absolutely. And even if I've dated women in Africa or the Caribbean who have been raped and they didn't have that, they were not inhibited. They didn't have this hatred towards men and all that. Like it just didn't exist. Like it just very different, even though it's the same act. And not all of them have dealt with, you know, seeing a therapist. Like I don't even want to say survived. Like it's something that happened. It's unfortunate. But the callous way to look at it is you had sex with someone and you may not necessarily have wanted to have sex with them. Like that's what happened. We turn it into like you were killed and slaughtered and then brought back to life. And it's this horrible thing. But if a boy or a man gets raped, it's not this horrible, you know. So this is a problem by itself. But part of that is what the guy was just saying. So we live in a country where initially a lot of women don't deal with that well. I mean, I've met several women who have been raped, but there's a way to deal with them so that doesn't become the focal point of the relationship, because it really is for a lot of women. Like they're still dealing with you like you're the rapist. And that's where a lot of problems come, and you're the enemy. I mean, there are women who haven't been raped and have that, who have what they call it like sympathetic trauma. A woman who's never been raped or molested will sympathize with a woman who has, and then take on the same mindset and way of being as a woman who has been raped. And that has become part of U.S. culture, like this sympathetic trauma.
Right. It's the same trauma that mothers passed down to their daughters on why they couldn't get husbands. So now their daughters have these whole preconceived notions of that all men are bad and blah, 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 blah. And they end up just like their mothers not being able to secure a husband. But it's not through their own experiences. It's because they empathize with their mother's experience.
Yeah, they call it sympathetic trauma. It doesn't even happen to you, yet you're acting as though it did happen, and that's a problem. So part of what I'm saying, and I saw a comment, someone said I'm going to go to Latin America. If you go to Latin America and you deal with the women in Latin America or any other country the same way you see women here, you're going to end up with the same exact problems. You just will. So going to another country is not the solution. Men need to be able to establish masculine dominance with women no matter where the woman comes from. If you don't do that, another country won't be the solution. It may seem like it temporarily. And they might try you because they understand the way that they see the United States is that the women wear the pants and women dominate men in this country. So they are going to try you to see what they can get away with.
But it ain't funny. They ain't been able to get away with the cartels, though.
No, they don't get away with it in their country. But I'm not talking about a cartel. I'm talking about a guy from the United States who goes to get a woman in Latin America. She's going to know that the way she sees the United States is that the women dominate the men. So she's going to try you. You follow me?
Oh yeah, yeah, she might. Until she catch on that I ain't the one to play with.
Well, I'm not talking about you, Kendrick. I'm saying that what I'm saying is that she's going. She may try you because she's heard that the women can wear the pants. So she's going to see if she can push past a certain boundary. And if she can, she's going to try another one. And eventually she's going to end up being just like the women here. Or not exactly like, it'll be a tamed version of it. She may still honor her, you know, her role, but she may become more materialistic and feel entitled. That's what makes it. It's about the man. It's not about the woman.
Yeah, yeah. You do have to handle them with. You can't handle them the same way that. Well, treat them. I shouldn't say handle, but you can't treat them the same way you treat American women.
Let's say handle. Let's not be afraid.
Okay. Yeah. Let's say handle because. Yeah, let's say handle, because we know even American women want to be handled. What's the first thing that black women tell you? That you can't handle a strong black woman. Okay, yeah, so let's handle them. So yeah, when you go down there, you can actually handle them the way they truly want to be handled, because they're not there's no simps down there keeping you from doing it, you know. The simps out down there don't make the laws. They don't run shit. Whereas here they do.
What, you know, would be interesting. I wonder if there would be a significantly lower percentage of women in Latin America who have rape fantasies.
You know what? I would love to see that study, because I'm willing to bet that there probably are. Because they get that dominance already.
That's,
so there's no need for it.
Exactly. That's the point
yeah.
I'm making. That's the essence of what I'm saying, Chris.
No, I get it. I get it, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all. What I'm saying is, although you and I know that's what they want, it's because we understand women. But what you have is a large group of men who don't understand women, and they don't understand that that's what women truly want. So what they do is they think that by stopping us from giving women what they want, that they're protecting women when they're not.
No, I get that. They're the ones, as a matter of fact,
I'll go as far to say this. They're the one that's instilling all this hostility in women, because the women feel that these men should be like us and understand them and understand that they don't really mean what they say when they say they don't want it. That these men should know that they're just speaking in conjecture. They don't truly want what they say. They're just saying it just because they don't want to be shamed for saying it, saying what they really want.
That's the major point of taking this topic on, because that's like rape fantasy. They can't say I want a rape fantasy, and they can't say I want a man who dominates me. But they can't say either one, because they're going to be put down for it and told how stupid and weak they are. Yet that's what they want.
Right. No, I'm agreeing with you. But you know, at the same time, I say if there's any man who's not willing to play the mental gymnastics, or willing to weather the storm and fight through the sea of simps, and you know, risk all the repercussions that could come from the simps, that I'm not going to call him weak for not willing to deal with it. You know, life's too short. No, if you don't want to put up with the bullshit, no, don't. I'm not going to call you weak for it.
So here's what I'm saying. Yes, there are men who get on all fours and take it with a strap on. Those guys get what they get. If there are zero men who check women, then they will keep running off the rails. And until the men who know how to check women check them, there'll be no one to correct and guide the situation. Doesn't mean you have to, you're jumping through the hoops and you're playing mental gymnastics. That's the point, is that I don't play that. And it's unacceptable. And if you want something else, you should go get it elsewhere, not with me. So I'm not playing that. And if men took that stand, it doesn't matter what the simps do. they can run to the simps. They're going to resent them anyway. What they really want is a man who can stand up. I don't know. I don't think you were on the show. I had a woman who's a sex worker. She does OnlyFans kind of stuff. And she said she would probably marry a beta male. The woman stands 6'1". And she said, if I marry a beta male, I'll hate and resent him because I know he's powerless and I know how he's going to be interacting with the world with no power. She's her fear of a man who was what she called an alpha and powerful was that he would have too many options. And on one hand, she respects and wants the boundaries he's going to put up. On the other hand, I think her fear was that he would have access to too many other women and the possibility of cheating and not being able to do anything with that guy. And once again, the shame, like, so being shamed for wanting that. But she's clear that she would hate the beta male, even though she would marry him and let him pay the bills. She would resent him. And that's the part men need to understand.
I completely believe her when she say that. And that's what I just said. They're pissed off at simps and because they feel that simps should understand that they don't truly want egalitarianism. So stop giving it to them. You should understand that they want to be dominated. And it's like a child. You know, you don't give a child bleach just because it points at the bottle
right.
And says it's thirsty.
Exactly.
When you know
exactly.
that child that drinking that bleach is going to hurt that child. You know, that child doesn't understand it, but you know it. And that's how mm-hmm. women feel. They feel that men should know that they don't truly want egalitarian. Look at them. They don't want responsibility. They don't want any kind of responsibility or accountability for anything. And they want men to stop giving it to them. But what happens? We live in a society where it's set up to keep giving it to them because it's easy to get them to part ways with their money, and they're too stupid to see it. So I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. It just is.
But this is why I'm promoting so much that men take a stand. I don't care what the whether you call them simps or whatever name you want to call them, beta males. When I invite her into my life and she's in my presence, it's all about this is my world. So whatever those other guys do are irrelevant. And if she's concerned about them, then she should go with them. And I've told women that. I've been out with a woman and said, you see that guy over there? He looks like a nice guy. If that's what you want, you should go to him now. Just get up and walk away from me, and I won't feel bad. Go.
I agree. And I also think that when men initially start talking to women, the minute she starts bringing up her ex and all the things that he feels that he wronged her, you stop her right then and there, and you tell
exactly.
her that you're not going to be the one to suffer, you know, from anything that he did to her. You're not going to be, you know, her cleanup guy. You're not responsible for whatever trauma he caused in her life, and you're not going to be the one to make up for it.
Well,
so if she still has issues from her ex, then she needs to get the fuck on because you ain't suffering because of it.
Well, there's another way to look at that also, Chris, is to listen and then start asking questions so that she can actually see that she was responsible. So and in that moment, you might want to make a decision and say, I don't want to be with that. I remember there was a woman in my neighborhood and we'd be on the bus in the morning going to New York. And she was telling me about something how she was handling her ex-boyfriend. And I said, you know, that's not good, right? She said, yeah, I know. Then she told me something. I said, you know, that's not good either. Yeah. Like there was no way I was going to get involved. And I got the sense that she was interested, but after she told me those things, I'm out. I'm not interested. Now what would have been better for her is to hear that from me. Like if that's the way you deal with men, I have no interest in you. But we hadn't gotten that far. I mean, there was some interest, but you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like just
saying, yeah, I agree with you.
Do you think that's the smartest thing to do for a relationship? No. Yeah, I know it's not good. Then, like, what the hell are you doing?
Right, right. And the easiest way to trick them, the easiest way to trick them is to remove them from the situation and insert, someone else, you know. Just insert some random woman, you know. Hey, I got a cousin, or I got a sister, or I got a neighbor that's doing this, this, and this. Do you think this was smart of her? And the whole time you're just reflecting her decisions that she's made and her mating choices, and they will all agree that it was stupid.
Yep, that's a good one. That's also good. Right. So
then the minute you point out that you know, hey, I was actually talking about you, it's gonna be like, oh, that light bulb will click on. Oh.
Yeah, that's a turnoff. I'm not interested in women who operate that way. See, if more men let it be known that this is behavior, you know, this is not good behavior. Why would you do that? That's not good. Why would you do this? Or the way you put it, you know, how would you feel? And she's like, oh, yeah, that sounds stupid. Well, you know, I'm talking about you. And then they get this goofy look on their face. And it's like, do you think that would turn me on? You think I want to be with someone like that? If enough guys handled it that way, eventually there's some light that will start to show up.
Right. Hey, the big exclusive just asked a question. Do women from either America, I guess, America or other countries, ever check other women for their bad behavior? And I'll say this to a certain extent. Women are social creatures, and for them, their safety in numbers, particularly among other women. So they're not going to say too much while they're around other women for other women to alienate themselves from the pack.
What, you know what? There are
some, but the vast majority of them are not going to go against. That's why they call it a sisterhood, because the vast majority of them aren't going to go against each other. That's why you have women who will vote against their own interests when it comes to voting rights. They don't want to see, like welfare. They won't vote for welfare to get taken away because they think in the back of their mind that someday they may be on welfare and they may need it. So they're, even though right now they're being taxed at outrageously high prices, right, rates, they're not going to go vote against welfare or women getting welfare because in the back of their mind someday they could be on welfare.
Right, right. But there are women in the U.S. who will check whether it's their daughters or other women and say that's not good behavior. I'm trying.
Right.
I have heard of this. I have, and they come from especially the Middle East. It's like you end up getting
shunned. Those women typically come from patriarchal societies, or they have patriarchal households. But those women are they're very few and far between. I'm willing to bet it's probably only 5% of women. Because the vast majority of women just are not going to go against other women. It's just who they are.
Do you know only 12% of Latinas identify as feminist? White women, it's, I think, 28%. Asians are 26%. And black women, it's like 24%. And Hispanic women are, it's only 12%.
Yeah, I can believe it.
So they
what's,
they
what's
also,
the number for Arab women, though?
I don't know.
I'm willing to bet that number is not even 10%.
Hell, maybe not even 1%. I mean, I watched a debate of a feminist being interviewed in a primarily Middle Eastern audience, a lot of women. And I literally watched Middle Eastern women stand up and say, so what you're suggesting is we go against our men. And
right.
She said, no, we're not doing that. That's not right. That doesn't even make sense. Why would we go against our men? And then a woman in her 20s said, look, my father wants to know where I am and where I'm going because he doesn't want anything to happen. So he might take me to the party or something, but that's my father caring for me and looking out. He doesn't want to see something happen. He's not controlling me. And the
right,
feminist,
right?
I've
seen that.
Yes, it is. That's patriarchal dominance, and he's controlling you.
I seen a video on YouTube, and I wish I could find it again. But it was this this young woman over somewhere in the Middle East, and she's walking down the street with no male accompanying her. She's not wearing a hijab or anything, right? And she's obviously, you know, feminist. Well, these three old ladies that were, you know, wearing a hijab, and they're being accompanied by one of them husbands, they just started beating her ass. Like, one of them pulled out a loaf of bread that she was taking home, and she just started beating this girl with it. It was absolutely hilarious.
That, so there you go. That's keeping them in check. But Big Exclusive, what's going on? Happy New Year to you, man. Big Exclusive said that the Middle Eastern women were not allowed to take the poll.
Yeah, they aren't allowed to take the poll. Yeah. They were stoned for taking the poll.
You don't need to take the poll. And it's no one's business what we do and how we relate. So you're not taking the poll. It's none of their business. We're telling them nothing. So,
what do you mean taking a poll? What do you mean taking a poll?
Well, no, it's a joke. It's just a joke he's making.
We were talking about the number of women in the women in the U.S. by ethnicity who identify as feminists. White women were 28%. Asians were 27. Black women were like 24. And Hispanic women were only 12%. And Chris said, well, what about Middle Eastern? And Big Exclusive said, well, they were not allowed to take the poll. So
that's good to me. Okay, cool.
But yeah, the funny thing about it is, like I said, I don't think those women in those the societies where that we call them patriarchal, but let's be honest, it's just a natural way of life. It's just they're not fighting genetics or any of their biology. They're not fighting their biology. I don't know why we call it patriarchal. They're not rebelling against their natural biology. And those societies, the women in those societies, they don't have rape fantasies, I'm willing to bet, because they're not fighting their biology, because they're already, they know that when they mate with a man that he's already the masculine dominant man, because there's no laws in his society to stop him from being that way. He's not going to be punished for being that way, you know, because that's his natural instincts.
Yeah, but in that woman's case, she already know that guy lying with those men. They know that, Chris.
Well, yeah, well, Kendrick, unfortunately, that belief that you keep holding on to, that you keep saying.
I'm talking about the men over there in the Arab country. They know not to get out of.
I understand. I understand, and I'm telling you that your beliefs is what is the problem over here in the U.S.
I'm just ruining this. I'm neutral on the thing, Chris, because the way I look at it, I look at it, either they're going to get in line or this thing going to just bottom out. That's how I look at it. For me, I ain't messed up better, Chris. I promise you I'm not. All this stuff is out of order. So, you know,
all
countries ought to give you some insight of, like you said, Chris, of how things should be ranked. But America just out of order. That's what we is. We just buck wild.
That's why they call us the Wild Wild West.
There's a video. I haven't played it. I kind of want to hear a little bit. The title of the video is, Can You Be Feminist and Enjoy Rape Fantasies? You guys want to hear that? Some of it?
Sure.
Sure, play it.
Can you be a feminist?
It'd be interesting to hear what to say about this.
Can you be a feminist and also be into rape? I'm pretty. If you like rape, like role play.
Well, even just anything kinky and submissive, to be fair.
Yeah, I think definitely have gone through that phase of like, I'm a powerful woman. Why am I letting some bloke throw me around and play with me non-consensually?
Yeah, why do I want a guy to throw me down on the bed and have his way with me?
Yeah, while I'm crying and struggling.
Fantasize about someone breaking into my house and fucking me?
Why do I fantasize about being kidnapped and used as a sex slave against my will?
I had that fantasy from a very young age.
Too young.
Like a really weirdly young age.
Yeah. Where did it come from?
I don't know. I was daydreaming about being hooked up to this, like, machine where all these, like, basically loads of people hooked up this machine, and then I was forced to have sex with gross boys in my class.
Oh,
I don't want to have sex.
Yeah, and at really, really, like, questionably young ages.
Yeah.
I remember looking up, like, torture devices, but, like, sexual torture devices.
Yeah.
Wow, like, this has been great enough, like, from a very young age.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had great fucking childhoods, haven't really gone through anything traumatic. There's no real reason, like, for it. Like, why?
It's like a wicked iceberg.
Oh. Anyway,
okay, we'll get on with the rest of the video.
So yeah, we are here to make you understand, and frankly for us to both understand why and actually how you can be feminist and submissive.
Yeah.
Because we are both technically feminists.
We are feminists. We believe in equality and women's rights and equal pay and all that. Basically, how can we be strong, powerful women and also want to be overpowered and have no control over the bedroom?
Yeah, completely humiliated and disgraced and...
bat on and told that I'm a slut. Not really. I actually have a little bit of a problem. Someone was calling me a slut and like a whore.
Yeah.
That he comes out or something.
Yeah.
And I was actually like, I'm not actually okay with being called a slut.
I think the difference is who's saying it.
Maybe, yeah.
Massively. It's all about the fact that we are in control and there is consent.
Yeah.
To an extent, you know, it doesn't matter how dominant somebody is, they are not going to do anything that you're not okay with. That's like the overall rule. That's how we can, and it should be the same either way around as well. But if they're suddenly calling you a slut or they haven't really had that conversation with you or the feeling's not right or not there, then it's a bit like,
you always need to have the conversation first.
Yeah.
Like, not are you okay with me calling this, but like me just like testing the waters.
Yeah. You don't have to have like a,
do you like this and do you not like that?
Yeah.
It kind of comes up in conversation naturally, I would say.
Well, we hope. I mean, this is why in the BDSM kink realm, communication is so good. It's better than like anywhere else because people need to talk about it rather than thinking that you're like fucking hot shit, you're the biggest dominating cunt and just thinking that you know exactly what to do and how to treat a girl and how she will like it. That's not what a real dom is. A real dom is someone that, you know, makes sure that they check in and see if what they're doing is okay. Like, that's when it's fucking hot.
Also, that is the biggest turn on me. Someone that's
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Mine is enjoying really masculine energy.
Well, if you get a dominant woman,
that
would probably chase things. You know, men really enjoy a chase, or someone who's dominant enjoys a chase.
Yeah.
It would be the reverse as well. If you get a dominant woman,
that
would probably enjoy the chase of someone, you know, that might just be a little bit more timid.
Part of being dominated for me is enjoying really masculine energy over me.
Oh, yeah.
That is the biggest turn on me. Someone that's super masculine.
I don't know, man. Yeah. Mine goes to extremes, though, because I like very extreme rape scenarios. Like, again, kidnapping. I don't want it to be just like, oh, please don't. Like, I want it to be like kicking, screaming, punching, like getting away from each other. Oh, of course.
It actually needs to feel like a little bit.
Oh,
real.
This is crazy.
Because I experienced this recently with someone, and they sort of said some things, but they weren't really acting it out in like a strong way. And it was just like, well, if you're going to say these things, you have to do the whole thing, because otherwise it's just
going to work. No, well, it's unfortunately a turn off. Unfortunately. Yeah. I'm sure there are dominant people that we've played with that wouldn't be okay with an extreme scenario.
And there's people who have done that before. Like, oh, yeah, can we do a kidnap like a break-in scenario?
And then it's not going to plan or not really, I mean...
Sometimes you have this huge fantasy, you're like, oh my god, this is going to turn me on so much. And then in reality, it's actually like, oh, actually, this is a bit weird.
Your own fantasies, you actually...
Women are fucking crazy.
Yeah, again, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to want it in your mind, but not in real life.
I like being called a slut or a hoe. I want to be choked on a dick so much that I throw up. But the idea of that is hot, but I don't think I'd like that in there.
I'm
like shoving that dick in When I deep throat in real life and I choke a little bit, like I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah, when you can, you're like, oh, I don't want to,
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that on your dick.
Sorry.
Yeah. Same with like being choked, strangled. Actually, hair pulling, I like the idea of, but when it happens to me, I don't like it.
Really?
Because it hurts my head so much. Yeah. It really distracts me from the pleasure.
Yeah.
This is all important stuff that needs to be talked about. Again, yeah. It's like you're never taking away the control from the dominant person by talking about things and by suggesting things that you do or don't like.
Yeah.
That's not removing the dominance. It's just giving yourself like limits and parameters for you to play safely, because you are dealing with stuff that can be dangerous, that can be sensitive. You know, shibari, that's Japanese rope bondage, thinking, oh yeah, that's cool, I'd love to be tied up like that. But what if someone tied you up and you lost complete feeling in your arm and it hurt, and you were not really in a situation where you're like, you didn't feel pleasure anymore because you're so distracted by something else?
Yeah. Yeah,
so I can imagine that happening, actually.
Definitely.
Because the idea of it is so hot.
Yeah.
But like, is that reality? I don't know.
Well, that's what porn is. You're watching porn and you're imagining that everything that they're feeling and going through, but you don't actually know what they're actually feeling or going through. You know, the guys there might be acting like they're into it, but they might be like just thinking about what they're cooking that night. Or like they're just doing it because, you know, it's a porn scene, doing it for money. Or one of the girls could be like, I actually don't feel your dick at all, but I'm pretending that I'm like really...
I just want to make sure you heard what she said.
What's that?
So did you hear what she said? She specifically said that the guy who's doing the rape fantasy may not necessarily be into it. He may be thinking about, you know, doing something else later on that night. So in their mind, they don't want the guy that's giving them the fantasy. They want the real fucking thing. Bitches are crazy.
Hold on, Kendrick. They were talking about porn, that when you're watching people have porn, the guy could be thinking about what he's going through.
Right. They were talking about the rape fantasies in porn. The guy doing the rape fantasy in porn, he may not necessarily be into the fantasy. He may be thinking about something else he's doing later on that night, so they don't want that. They want the real fucking thing. They want authenticity.
No, that they made that clear a few minutes ago, but they were saying that porn, you don't know what people are feeling. The woman, because they said the guy could be thinking about what he's going to eat, and a woman, maybe she doesn't even feel his dick, and she's just faking like she does. So they were not talking about rape. They were just talking about porn in general.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just – so they're getting – they're off course now, but let's see if they have – so the one thing that they are saying, and we're hearing it, is that they're looking for power and masculinity. That is what they really want.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing real quick. That's evident by, you know, all these protests from these Antifa women, right? These Antifa women who are extreme leftists and feminists, and they hate the patriarchy, they still said, they took a poll and they among them, and they still said that they would rather be fucked by the conservative men than the men on their side, because the conservative men still displayed masculinity.
Chris, that's my whole point.
That's it. I never disagree with you on that. I never want to disagree with you on that.
It's like, look, when you ask a woman, what would you like to eat? Let's go to dinner. And this is your woman. You've been seeing her for a while. What would you like to eat? Comedians make jokes. But you know what? Chris, I'm thinking about this. The women who lived with me, I actually didn't have that problem because I was not patient about that kind of behavior.
No, you told them what you wanted to eat. You tell them what you wanted to eat. If they don't want to eat it, fine. You fix whatever the fuck you want to eat. But this is, you go out and get whatever you want, but this is what's on the menu tonight. And you're going to accept it or you're going to eat elsewhere.
Exactly. Or no, listen, there was a woman here at my house who told me we should go to a restaurant. I said, why? I just went shopping 2 days ago. I have a lot of food in the refrigerator. And she said, yeah, well, I'm not cooking. She said, I've never cooked for any man in my life.
This is a woman in her mid-30s, 35, 36.
And I said,
well, here's the deal. I'm not going to a restaurant. I told you that. I'm not eating out a lot. She said, well, then call a restaurant and have them deliver it. And I laughed, and I said, here's the deal. Either you get in the kitchen and cook, or I cook, and when I cook, I'm cooking for one person. You either watch me eat or you leave and go home. But you, so that's your choice. Get in the kitchen and cook. And, man, she had a temper tantrum. She stomped her feet. And for weeks she said, you forced me, and I never did that. No man has ever expected me. And it's like, I don't care. Get your ass in the kitchen and cook. I mean, that was like straight up 1940s. Get your ass in the kitchen and cook or go home. And she went in the kitchen and cooked a great meal.
Yeah, I can see it. I understand it.
You don't ever
ask a woman, you know, what she wants to eat or where she wants to eat, because women, like I said, they're social creatures. They take their social cues from men, because deep down, every decision a woman makes is predicated on us not killing her, because we're the dominant of the species. So she's never going to pick where she wants to eat. She's always going to say, I don't know, or be indecisive about it, because deep down, In the back of her mind, if she picks a bad restaurant and you get food poisoning or you just don't like the meal, you're going to be the one to pay for it. And in the back of her mind, if you don't like this food, you could kill her. So when you ask her where she's going to eat, I don't know. I don't need. All right, bitch, we're going to get a steak. Okay.
Right.
So, yeah, you don't ever ask them what they want to eat. You tell them.
Let's see. What's going on, Miss Twist? We're playing a video from your side of the pond, man. And thank you for the super chat. Appreciate that.
He said the queen doesn't approve.
He said, I just got here. He said, the queen doesn't approve of this at all. The queen is in the closet getting dominated by someone right now as we speak. Come on, man. She just won't marry the guy because she knows her power is gone if she marries him.
The taboo fetish. Okay.
Oh yeah, and it's
scary
word.
It's
word
one
well.
Of the biggest ones.
And
there are so many women that have rape fantasies. Obviously, whenever it's mentioned, I'm sure there will be in the comments of this video people saying that it's not okay to have a rape fantasy.
Yeah. Well, it makes people feel uncomfortable, especially the idea of doing something against somebody's will. We are not promoting in
no
any way,
way,
shape, or form any kind of behavior that is non-consensual. We believe that doing anything consensually, you could do anything you like consensually. Again, I don't want to use the example of the extremes of like using a knife, but if somebody's into being cut and another person's into cutting and it's both consensual, like that is okay. It's just be really hot. But if someone spanked me, I'd really probably not be okay with the pain.
Yeah.
If I'm people that are into being dominated, and
you always need to feel safe with this person.
So many girls I know that are into being dominated, and if not, again, these rape fantasies, because rape is such a scary word and it does frighten people, of course, because actual rape is horrific. It is scary. It shouldn't ever happen to anybody, anything non-consensual.
I feel like people are turned on by things that are like scary though.
Yeah,
like
risky. Yeah, but like I'm into fucking every villain in every film.
Exactly. So like the worse it is, really, the more of a turn on it is.
Yeah.
Risky,
it's hard to talk to people about it as well. Mm. If you were to approach your partner and be like,
could you pretend to rape me?
Yeah. Lots and lots of people would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But it's kind of like the hitting thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like really hard for guys because they're like, wait, I've been taught my whole life not to hit girls.
Yeah.
And you want me to hit you?
It's the same with if a guy was asking a girl to do it.
Yeah.
If a guy was saying, please hit me.
Uh-oh. Did the video stop?
Oh, you want me to play more?
No. I just want to touch on a point for Big Exclusive. A while ago, Big Exclusive, you asked, do women ever correct other women or anything? Like I said, the sisterhood, you said as the conversation went on, they were just effing each other up, and it was getting more and more degenerate, and the rest of them were following. Well, that's what I said. Women take their social cues from other women, and they don't want to be alienated from the pack because their safety in numbers. There you go. That was proof of it right there.
Right. Yep. A big exclusive. Yes, she was a good cook. And here's the funny thing. For a few weeks after she cooked that meal, she complained that I forced her and how unfair it was. And maybe, I don't know, a month and a half after that incident, she cooked religiously. She cooked dinner for me every Sunday. Every Sunday. Until I didn't want her to cook dinner for me anymore. She wanted to get married.
There you go. Hey, perfect example. Like I said, you were willing to take the risk. You knew what you had to do. All men know that they have to do this, but you were willing to take the risk, and you did it, and you got the results that you desired. Not all men are willing to take this risk, and I don't fault them for not doing that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, with Chris, what I'm getting at, there's a way to get that across without having third parties into the picture. There's a way to do that. And that's what I'm getting at. That's the thing that men need to learn to do. That's why I put a tongue in cheek. I said, so I must be the exception. I know I'm